ദേവരാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമാംശുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ. തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം വരം ധീമഹി. പ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവസംയുതം പിവത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹാതരമാജ്യുഭാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനീതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൻ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർ മധുരിം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി. നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനെ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാ സമുദ്രം രാധാ സഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേ ത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പ്രേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭരതമംഗജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർവേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ So yesterday when we discussed this verse from Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter Krishna is saying one important thing in that verse jyotisham abhida jyoti tamasaparamuchyade jnanam yeyam janagamyam hrudi sarvasya nishtitam a very very important verse isn't it Krishna is saying that jyotisham abhida jyoti that jyoti which is the light behind everything else which is referring to the antaryami inside we have seen there that we talked about this thing about sanyasam how sanyasa ashramam works the principle of sanyasa ashramam we talked about that and we have also seen that that the that jyoti that is where everything is offered finally in that fire of knowledge inside knowledge is the krishna's form inside as antaryami is present also as the knowledge present inside so actually all those things what we discussed yesterday in relationship with that verse is not for understanding it's not for understanding again I am repeating the same thing to make it very clear that it is not for something to be understood and because If you understand, it will be a problem. If you understand, it will be a problem. Because what will happen is, understanding means it's with the mind, isn't it? How do we understand something? With the mind. When anything is understood by the mind will interpret it in a different way. That is the problem with this understanding. Mind will start interpreting things. And once it starts interpreting, then it will, the message will be lost. Message will be lost. So that is why this Shravanam process, if you understand, we talked about it many times, but it may not have gone into your consciousness properly, because that is why again at the end of Bhagavatam he says, Kasmayena vibhasidoyam adulo jnana pradipa pura todrubena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrubina. This is a very, very important verse in the Bhagavatam to explain the process of hearing, how to hear Bhagavatam. And same applies to Bhagavad Gita also. What is that process? Kasmayena vibhasidoyam adulo jnana pradipa pura. Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. And Krishna spoke, and sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna heard. Brahma didn't hear, Krishna heard. And sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna spoke. And sitting in Sridharada Maharshi's heart, Krishna heard. Sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart, Krishna spoke. Sitting in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart, Krishna heard. Sitting in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart, Krishna spoke. And sitting in Shukha Brahma Rishi's heart, Krishna heard. Sitting in Shukha Brahma Rishi's heart, Krishna spoke. And sitting in Parikshit's heart, Krishna heard. It's always Antaryami to Antaryami. It is not from mind to mind or brain to brain. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Simply doesn't work. That is why, while hearing process, it is always important, as much as possible, not to allow the mind and the intelligence to interfere in hearing. When the mind and intelligence, because generally that's our nature, isn't it? Always tend to listen through the mind or listen through the brain. As soon as you hear something, the mind will come into action. Mind starts saying, oh, I really didn't understand that, or say like that. So that thing has to go from us. That is why that verse spoken specifically in the Bhagavatam. Kasmayena vibhasidoyam adulo jnana pradipa pura tadruvena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvina yogindraya tad atmanada bhagavadradaya karunyadam tat shruddham vimalam vishogam amrutam satyam param dhimahi. Satyam param dhimahi, Bhagavatam begins with satyam param dhimahi, Bhagavatam finishes with satyam param dhimahi. So satyam param dhimahi is that this principle, if you understand, Antaryami is speaking, Antaryami is listening. That is the principle of speaking and listening Srimad Bhagavatam. So there is important thing, if you start bringing it into the mind and the intelligence, everything, it will not work. Actually, Krishna is hearing within the heart. Who is situated in the heart? Krishna is hearing. Because if a change has to happen in a person, that Antaryami has to make that change. Your mind and brain can't do anything there. Isn't it? Mind and what can the mind do or brain do about it? The Antaryami who is inside there, when he hears that a change has to happen from his side. So all we have to do is to keep remembering that let Antaryami listen to everything what is spoken. Why? Krishna has spoken there. Otherwise, you can see that all you have to do is to record it, isn't it? In a tape or in a cassette or CD, and then listen to it, if it is mind and brain. But my cassette and CD doesn't seem to have that effect. There's no Antaryami there sitting and listening in the cassette or in the CD player. It's Antaryami is only in our body. Only in the body Antaryami is there. So therefore, that's the difficulty, is that sometimes you can see in a big important places where there is Bhagavatam is spoken, some people will come, they'll bring their Walkman. There used to be Walkman before, isn't it? With the cassette player. They'll put the Walkman on and they will sit there. And if you tell them that why you are putting this on, they'll say, my mind is not working. That will be their answer, that my mind is not able to concentrate. Therefore, I'll record it and take it home and then listen later on from there. So this comes like that. But what you have to understand is that just like the walkman, there's a walking God inside. If you recognize that walking God instead of the walkman, the walking God can do the job better than the walkman. So, from Andaryami, the other Andaryami will capture. Andaryami from one Andaryami, the other Andaryami can capture the message. It's capable of doing that. Only thing is we have to recognize that. That is the way it works. Always you have to keep reminding yourself that this is the way it works, not through the mind and the intelligence. Whether your mind and brain understands this or not, that is not important. That's not important. There is proof for that. Where is the proof? Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? From who? From Krishna directly. Then he forgot everything. He forgot everything. All the Bhagavad Gita, what he heard, he has forgotten everything. And then, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see, he comes at the end. Yeah, it's in the first canto. He says, this is the after Krishna has departed from here, Arjuna comes back to see Yudhishthira Maharaj in Hastinapur. When he came to see Yudhishthira did not know what actually has happened. Arjuna says to Yudhishthira that Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurubina. Krishna, who is our well-wisher and who was always with us, has left. Saying this, Arjuna started crying, feeling that separation from Krishna. And there is a number of verses in the Bhagavatam in the 15th chapter, first canto, of Arjuna's relationship with Krishna. That separation, how it has caused a lot of distress in Arjuna's mind. And that distress continued for a long time, and Arjuna found it extremely difficult to bear the separation from Krishna. Finally, Vedavyasa Suda Goswami says here, after thinking about Krishna, and he edam evam chindayado chindayado jishnu Krishna pada saroruham, thinking about Krishna's lotus feet again and again, Arjuna sauhardena adhigadena shandasid vimalamati. That is the 28th verse, that he became peaceful inside, and sauharda adhigadena, that close relationship he had with Krishna, he thought about that, and finally shanti came to him, vimalamadi, his intelligence became pure. Vasudeva anghyanudhyanam paribrahmhidaram hasa bhaktya nurmadhida shesha kashaya dishano arjuna. Arjuna managed to escape from his kashayam state. Kashayam state means the mind in a depressed state. From that he managed to come out of it. It was at that time what happened. Gidam bhagavada jnanam yatal sangrama murdhani kala karmatamo ruddham punaradhyagamat prabhu. At that time, due to the influence of time and karmam, kalam and karmam, due to that, he was affected by the kala karma tamo ruddham. Tamogunam has entered inside. Due to karmam and due to the influence of time, tamogunam that has entered inside, he managed to free himself from that. How? Gidam bhagavada jnanam. What it is indicating is, what Arjuna heard before from Krishna, that was inside. And who released that? Andaryami released it. It didn't come from the mind and the brain. This is why the importance of hearing directly always. Whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, it will remain there. It may not come useful at this moment. You may not understand that, but it can work at a time when you need it. Like in the case of Arjuna. Gidam bhagavadajnanam yatal sangrama murdhani. This happens after many years after Arjuna has heard Bhagavad Gita. After hearing Bhagavad Gita, after many years, this incident happened. Krishna left this world, Arjuna went to, from Dwaraka to Hastinapur and met Yudhishthira Maharaj and told him everything what happened. And he was in a very depressed state. And it was then that he thought about Krishna a lot and came back to him Shanti state. But then, Gidam Bhagavad Jnanam, that knowledge of Bhagavad Gita starts coming back from inside. Where did that come from? Antaryami has released it from inside. It didn't come because he has forgotten completely. In the mind and brain it was in there. But where did that come from? It came from the Antaryami. Just to show the how it works, the system works. Gidam Bhagavadajnanam yatal sangrama murdhani kala karmatamo uruddham punradhyagamat prabhu. Due to the influence of the time and actions, karmam, this forgetfulness has happened to him and it has come back again to Arjuna's awareness. Arjuna got it back in his awareness, what Krishna has spoken to him. When Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, the impact Krishna had on Arjuna through the Bhagavad Gita, the whole thing has come back again to him. So if Arjuna was in the platform of the mind, this wouldn't have happened. It was not there in the mind. It was not there in the mind. But as soon as Krishna's form has disappeared, Krishna was not there anymore. The form has disappeared. And Arjuna knew very well that that form he is not going to see again. That form has gone. But as soon as the form disappeared, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita which was hiding inside has come back. From inside. From inside it has come back. So that from that you have to understand that it is not the mind or the intelligence that is doing the job. It's not the mind or intelligence that's doing the job. And equally to remember that it's not the mind or intelligence that brings us into satsangam also. It's also the Antaryami who brings the person to a satsangam also. And similarly, to talk about Krishna also, it is Antaryami's encouragement from inside to talk about Krishna, to hear about Krishna. So Antaryami is speaking, Antaryami is listening. So as and when you feel that you are not understanding something, if you remind yourself this one point, that is enough. That's all what is required. That sometimes many things in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not possible to understand with the mind. Understand with the mind, because these verses are spoken in such a way. What it covers, the depth of that coverage is too big to get from the words straight away. And only when acharyas have had, who had that great mercy from Krishna, they have explained it to a large extent, and through them we understand. So we hear these things, and then when you heard that, it Antaryami inside capture that and remains there. That is the principle. So, and if you have understood something, there is nothing particularly any benefit from that. If you have understood something, what is important is that that person inside, who is the Antaryami, if he captures that, then that is benefit. That is the benefit. So, important thing to remember is that Krishna, who is within the hrit, in the heart, he is the one who is hearing. He is the one who is hearing. So they give this example for that. That there are these wells where you collect the water. There are different types of wells. Certain wells, as soon as it rains, it will get full very quickly. It will get full. And similarly, If there is no rain, very quickly the water level will go down in those wells. There are certain types of wells like that, depending on where it is. And some wells, even if it rains for a long time, it won't get full. It won't get full. Only for many months, if it rains, the water will build up in the well. So at that time, many months if it rains, the water will go down very deep inside, and then slowly it will start filled up. So the hearing process in the satsangam is like that. Suppose you capture something like the well which gets filled very quickly. If you capture something and if it goes into the mind and the brain, and then you have spoken about it to others also, but later on if you have forgotten everything, what's the use? It's like that. through the mind and the brain, when you capture, it is like that well, which fills, gets filled very quickly, and very quickly it dries up in the same way. So that way, the mind and brain, when it captures, sometimes we get things, and then after a while everything is forgotten. So what is the use? What's the use from that? And then you may not remember about it again. You heard, only when the time when you heard that, you felt some happiness from that. But afterwards, that thought hasn't come back again. It has never happened again. That's the nature of that mind and the brain. On the other hand, if you continuously listen to with the heart and to learn that art of hearing with the heart rather than with the mind and the brain, and in that case, logic, doubts, whether you understood or not, all this memory, forgetfulness, all these things is not important there. In that thing, they are not important. Whether you remember it, whether you have forgotten it, or whether you have doubts about it, or the logic behind it, all understood that, all these things are not important there while hearing Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. While hearing Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So all these things, you have to remember this. Remembering and forgetfulness all is in the field of the intelligence. Forgetfulness and memory. Memory, forgetfulness and all these things are in the field of intelligence. Is it not? So there, this transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Gita's knowledge, has no influence there. Has no influence there. And instead, in the field of intelligence, if it goes into the field of consciousness, but which is called Bodhamandalam, one is called the Manomandalam. Manomandalam means, in the Manomandalam is where you get all your doubts, yukti, logic, chinda, thoughts, all these are in the Manomandalam. In the field of intelligence is the question of forgetfulness and memory and everything. This is in the field of intelligence. And then, but in the field of consciousness, Bodham, it is not important whether you remember or whether you have forgotten. That's not important. These three fields you have to recognize first. Field of the mind, field of the intelligence, and field of the consciousness. In the field of the consciousness, whether you forget or remember, they are not important. But they are not important. And you can see this when Sri Shukha Brahmarshi was talking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. Parikshit was not bothered whether he remembered or not. He was simply hearing it, isn't it? He was simply hearing it. All he knew that death is going to come in 7 days' time. Let me hear Bhagavatam. In that way, he sat there and listened to Bhagavatam. So in the same way, Bhagavad Gita also is the same rule apply, that hearing is more important without bringing the mind or the brain into it. So, because Bodhamandalam means the field of consciousness, it is not called, it is not what is known as forgetfulness or memory is not important. Instead, that is what is called in the Shastram as Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that the Andaryami inside captures the message directly without allowing that to filter it through to the mind or the brain. To the mind or the brain. So there, all these things are not important. You have to remember, we are not in the relative plane. Mind and intelligence is a relative plane, is it not? Is it a relative plane? But Bodhamandalam or consciousness, field of consciousness, is not a relative plane. It is not a relative plane. That is that much. If you remember, it is good. If it is good to remember that. Bodhamandalam is not a relative plane. Mind and intelligence is a relative plane. Bodhamandalam, there is no question whether you have understood. Bodham is not for understanding. Awareness it is, isn't it? So that is what it is. So and that vastu, what is inside, he knows everything what is going on. When the message is spoken, Bhagavad Gita is spoken, he knows what to capture and how to capture it also. And if it has gone in properly to the right place in consciousness, it will come out from you at some time in your own words as your own experience. It will not be anymore through the mind and the brain. Normally what do? We hear from someone and we try to remember the words what has been used for expressing that, and we'll put it in our own way, those things, isn't it? But here, in the, that is in the relative plane. Relative plane, that is how we study things. For example, if you study any book, physics, chemistry, mathematics, whatever it is, after you have understood in the mind and the brain, you will express it in your language, whichever way it is, isn't it? Or sometimes instead of not to lose the spirit, you will try to use the same words, what is written in the book, so that you don't make a mistake. While you study any subject, normally that's the way we study things, isn't it? We understand the principle, but when you express it, because it may not bring you the correct message out, normally the tendency is to use the same words, what is used in the book, as much as possible, so that the way we explain the process, is it is not lost, the message is not lost. Is it not? When you study things like that, any subject for that matter. Because all the technical words, you have to use the same thing, what is in the book, or in the literature, or in science, or in history, wherever it is. That is because it is in the relative plane. In the absolute platform, in the Bodha Mandalam, this is with reference to mind and the brain. In the Bodha Mandalam, it is not like that. What you have, what Bodha Mandalam has captured, it will come out from your consciousness in your own experience level, what you have experienced. And the words may not be the same as what is used in the Shastram. This is why you find in this world, at different places, all over the world, when Jnanis realize the truth, when they have spoken the truth, they are all the same, very much the same as what is explained in the book. What's explained in the book? Can you see that logic behind it? That Shastram, that is how it comes out. Many, many great Jnanis and others, they didn't study Shastram. It's after realization when they spoke, they found that it is in line with the Shastram. It's in line with the... How did that happen? Because of this. Because it's coming from the Bodha Mandalam. Bodha Mandalam, it is coming. It's coming from the consciousness. It's not coming from the mind or the brain because they never studied anything before. But like you can see Nisargadatta Maharaj's case, that he used to make bidis, isn't it? That was his profession. When he realized the self, what he spoke, whatever he has spoken is completely in line with the Upanishads. How did this happen? But the words were not exactly the same, but the experience as you hear is the same thing what the rishis have spoken. And that's many cases like that. Kabir's case is like that. There are many others who they didn't study any Shastram. But how did that happen? Because it came from the Bodha Mandalam. It didn't come from the mind and the brain. That is why the best thing is always to keep away from the mind and the brain. Mind and brain is no use in spiritual life. That cannot contribute very much in that area. So that is why, and that Antaryami knows everything, whatever is spoken. He knows about that. And it will come out from you at the time when it is fully realized, it will come out in your own way. Because you are experiencing it every moment of that. It will not be the same words what we have spoken now. So, if you start writing it down, or if you try to understand things, then it will be the words what we are speaking here. It will come out as our own words. But when it comes to your own experience and it starts trickling from your own consciousness, it will come out with different words. The words will be different, but the experience will be your own experience. It will be. Experience is more important, not the words. The experience is more important. That is why only if it comes like that, it has really done the job. Otherwise it has not. That is why, if it is like that, that is why in Bhagavad Gita, this particular verse is very, very important. Just like Nasado Vidyade Bhavo, Nabhavo Vidyade Sada, or like the other words we have looked at, Ahamalpa Gudagesha Sarabhudashe Sida. Similarly, this is another important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Jyotisham Abhida Jyoti Tamasaparam Uchyade Jnanam Jnayam Jnanagamyam Hriti Sarvasya Vishtidam. If you have gone through what we discussed yesterday and so far about that verse, it will give you very good insight into that verse, what Krishna is trying to explain through that. It is such an important verse. that Jyoti Sham Vidat Jyoti, Krishna is saying. And so many acharyas have utilized that words while discussing with their disciples. I mentioned that story also. Eka Shlogi, Acharya Swamiji wrote from this verse he has taken out. Eka Shlogi, which we discussed yesterday, that when he saw that Brahmana, Shivali Brahmana, when the 80-year-old person coming and saying to Acharya that, I have studied all the Upanishads, I have studied Vedanta Sutram, still I didn't have any realization. Acharya says to him that whom do you see during the day? He says, I see with the eyes. How do you see? He said, I see with the eyes. Eyes, how does the eye see? He said, I see with the help of the sunlight. Eyes can see with the help of the sunlight. Now, in the night when you sleep, in the dream, how do you see? He says, I see with the mind. When the eyes are shut down, eyes are not open, eyes are closed, and there is no sunlight, but I am seeing like in the sunlight with the eyes, I am seeing in the dream state. Acharya told him that who are seeing there then? Who are seeing at that time? As soon as he mentioned that, this Shivali Brahmana's understanding changed. He completely understood that, he says, it is Asmi, Aham Asmi. That aham inside is doing the job. That realization came to him. Awareness was doing that. So if it is in the vacant state, you are using the mind, eyes, everything to see and recognize things. In the dream state, that jyoti, aham, that jyoti Krishna is talking about here. Jyoti shama with a jyoti. That jyoti is doing that work inside, even in the dream state. And similarly, that Jyoti is capable of getting this message, storing it inside and releasing it when necessary. It's capable of doing that. And that is what is called realization, self-realization. When the Antaryami captures the message, Antaryami retains the message, Antaryami releases the message when it wants. Not when we want, when it wants. And when the Antaryami releases it, that is called Krishna's grace. What we call as Krishna's grace is that. That inside that Antaryami decides what is the right thing to do and make you do that. That is the Antaryami's role. That's what Krishna is talking about here. So, even if you don't remember all the Bhagavad Gita, if you forget all the other verses, but still, this one thing if you remember, that's important. Very important thing, and what's more than important. What is that? Jyotisham abhidat jyoti tamasapparamuchyade Jnanam Jnayam Jnanagamyam Hrithi Sarvasya Dishthitam. That's all. Jyoti Shama Vidat Jyoti. That Jyoti behind everything. What is operating? The mind, intelligence, body, senses, we have discussed yesterday. All that is operating because of that Jyoti inside, behind everything. That light, Jyoti means light, that is illuminating everything else. And what is that jyoti for us at the moment? That jyoti, that light is my awareness, aham, aham, aham. Isn't it? That awareness is that light, what I have at the moment. That is that jyoti Krishna is talking about. And so they give the examples for this in many, many different ways. Jnanis talk about this. They say like that, then a person is sitting in front of a huge temple and is begging for money. He's begging for money. So there is a box there and he is sitting on top of the box and he is asking for a few coins. People who are the pilgrims who are coming to the temple and going out, they are giving him small coins to him and they are walking away. He is collecting these coins. So he keep on asking for the coins. So one person came up to him and told him, open that box and have a look at it, what is inside there. He says, I know there's nothing there in the box, he says. My father used to sit here, his father used to sit here. So many generations they were sitting there and they were collecting the coins like this. And I know there's nothing inside that, he says like that. So the one person who came up there and told him, even if you sit here, 40 years you have been sitting here, even if you sit here 4,000 years, nothing will happen, he said. Because, he said, you open the box and have a look at it inside. So he will not agree, and finally when they opened the box they realized it, there was so much gold in that box. There was so much gold in that box. He didn't recognize, he didn't know that it was there. And he kept on begging. That is this, our situation in this world. Krishna, that's what Krishna is pointing out in that verse. This gold is inside, which that jyoti inside. Instead of recognizing the presence of that jyoti, Antaryami inside, we are begging in the world. We are begging in the world for happiness. We are begging in the world for happiness. So there is a verse in the Yoga system says, Grihastam payasam tiktva. There is a householder, he has got good prasadam at home, with all the big feasts at home, with sweets, everything. Instead, he is going out and begging for food in an area where there is no proper food even prepared. So he has to go and beg there. Is that not very unfortunate? He's saying. So Durmadi. So Akhandananda Swamiji mentions this, that till he opens the box and looks inside, when he found that there is plenty of gold in that box, and he is sitting on top of that, covered with the box. Box is covered and top put a cloth on top of it, and he's asking for small coins. Similarly, we are all sitting on top of a huge treasure inside us. That is Krishna. That is why in Vishnu Sahasranamam, 1000 names of Vishnu, Krishna is addressed as Mahabhudam Mahanidhi. Mahabhudam Mahanidhi. He is inside as the presence of Antaryami is Mahabhudam, and he is the greatest treasure or wealth inside. And that Mahanidhi is available. Sulabhaha, Suvradaha, Siddhaha. All these are names of Vishnu in the 1000 names of Vishnu. When they offer flowers to Vishnu in the temple, Om Suvradaya Namaha, Om Sulabhaya Namaha, Om Siddhaya Namaha, Om Mahabhudaya Namaha, Om Mahanidhyaya Namaha, they offer flowers to him. Each of the word, if you read through the commentary on the 1000 names of Vishnu, you will see there, each of those words is referring to Krishna, who is present inside the heart as Antaryami and who is the greatest treasure. That treasure is called Mahanidhi. Nidhi means treasure. Mahanidhi means greatest treasure. So when they offer the flowers to the deity, Om Mahanidhiye Namaha, what does that mean? They are offering to that Antaryami who is inside as the greatest treasure. And he is available, as Bhagavad Gita says, that Suvrada Sulabha Siddha. That he is Sulabha Suvradaha Siddha. Sulabham is easily available, provided because everybody has got it. It's not that only few people have got it. Everyone has got it. Therefore, he is freely available. Freely available. And this is why in the Hastamalakiyam you will see every verse ends up with this Nitya Upalabdham Swarupoham Atma. It says Nitya Upalabdham. Nityam, permanently Upalabdham, available. What is that? Swarupoham Atma. Nitya Upalabdham Swarupoham Atma. Soul is Atma, is available to everyone. But only the Shraddha has to go there. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, because you can see here that Shraddha, if it falls on our awareness, which it hasn't fallen so far, that's why the problem is. We are saying like this, that no one can say that I'm not existing now. So long as you have that awareness, I'm existing, I'm awareness is inside, then experience everybody has, isn't it? That I do exist, awareness, everyone has that. So, that experience is experience of Krishna. Krishna's experience, that is, that when you are experiencing this awareness inside, that is Krishna's experience it is. Of course, we haven't tapped that. We haven't sensed that yet. We hear all this, awareness, bodham, prajna, jnapti, all these words we are saying, but in our awareness, it hasn't happened yet. We are not conscious of that, our existence or awareness in the field of bodhamandalam, in other words. So, whatever it is, Krishna says here, so that experience is not our experience. That experience, what it is that your own existence of this aham asmi, I am, which you are identifying with I, that experience is not ours, it is Krishna's. It is coming from Krishna actually. When you say to someone, I, when you refer to I, what do we mean by that? When we say to someone, I'll come to you tomorrow morning, I'll come and see you tomorrow morning. Who is this I you are referring to? It is Antaryami's presence inside. That's what you are referring to. Antaryami is speaking that. But you have misunderstood that it's you, that who is coming from you. And that you, which you are thinking in terms of the false ego, you are making that statement, I'll come to you tomorrow and see you in the morning, or I'll see you in the afternoon. Or whatever you are saying to someone, but who is supporting that from inside? Antaryami is supporting that. If Antaryami is not present there, you won't be able to make that statement, is it not? That statement is because Antaryami's presence inside is able to make that statement. But mistakenly we think it is nothing to do with Krishna, it is mine. That misunderstanding inside, and we are stuck in that. That is our current problem. So when we start taking attention, taking notice of that aham inside, so, and that, if you don't forget that, Shukha Brahmarshi says here that while discussing about yoga process in the second canto, Shukha Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, Parikshit, you can practice any yoga system you want. He didn't say this yogam, that yogam. He talked about Ashtanga yogam, he talked about Jnana yogam, Bhakti yogam, everything. But never forget one thing, he said, Brahma Bijam Avismaran, he says. In the second canto you will see there. Brahma Bijam Avismaran. What is Brahma Bijam Avismaran means? Brahma Bijam Avismaran means that Brahman who is present inside as Bijam, as the seed, is this Aham. Never forget that. He says to Parikshit. He says to forget that. So without forgetting this Brahma Bijam, continue the yoga process whatever you want to continue with. So many people who have commented on this Brahma Bijam, they have referred to that as pranavam, omkaram. They say refer to that as omkaram. But actually this Brahma Bijam, Acharya Swamiji and many others mentioned that it is from this aham even pranavam has come. Omkaram has also even come from this Brahma Bijam inside. Antaryami or aham. Aham, 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 aham asmi. That from there pranavam has come. So, and because pranavam, those who pranavam means omkaram, om, those who chant the omkaram also, finally that pranavam goes and dissolves, that is also in the same point, hrit, in the heart, there. So, akare, ukare, ukare, makare, makaro, omkare, that is how they say. A, o, ma, these three letters when you combine together it becomes om. A, o, ma, om. So, akare, akare, ukare. Akaro, ukare, ukaro, makare, makaro, omkare. That is the explanation to that. From akaram comes ukaram. From ukaram comes makaram. And from makaram comes omkaram. So, omkare ahameva layam ishyati. In omkaram, this aham layam ishyati. Ahankaram, omkare ahameva layam ishyati. In that omkaram, this aham goes and dissolves in that. Goes and these are all very technical things as far as the dhyanam process is concerned. Anyway, aham bodham, if you remember that much, is that is where omkaram dissolves. All pranavam, and pranavam means this omkaram, mantra, everything. All mantram has got this om above that. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya, om namo narayanaya. This om letter is the bijam of so many mantram, isn't it? So that mantram, when they are chanting that om letter, is the seed of all the whole mantram, it is there. So what is required is that whatever mantram is chanted, if we are conscious of that, that Antaryami is present inside, and then chant. That Krishna is present inside, with that awareness if you chant, it will have the that is what Shukha Brahmarshi is saying there. Brahma Bijam Avismaran. Whatever sadhana when one is doing, never to forget that Brahma Bijam Avismaran. Never to forget the presence of Brahman inside. Brahma Bijam Avismaran. He says in the second canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while talking about the yoga process, you will notice that. So
to open up the heart, to open up the heart, that hrid, this is the key, this ahamasmi, ahamasmi. And that is, that heart hrid, Krishna mentions here, that jyotisham abhidat jyoti tamasa paramuchyate jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtidam. That hrid, Krishna referred to, that hrid is the place where that jyotis is. That hrid is that jyotis. And that jyotis, that jyoti, that light, is the light for all other things. And it does not know what is darkness. That light does not know darkness. That light doesn't know darkness. Because if you look into Jnaneshwar mentions this. He said, sun does not know darkness, does it? Sun doesn't know what darkness is. Similarly, soul, Alma, or Andaryami does not know what is Ajnanam. It doesn't know what Ajnanam means. We know what Ajnanam is because we don't know Jnanam, what it is, isn't it? We know only Ajnanam, we don't know Jnanam. But the sun does not know darkness. Similarly, Andaryami inside does not know what ignorance means. It doesn't know that, what ignorance means. So, if you go to the sun and say to the sun that when you leave, darkness comes. You say to the sun in that way. So sun will reply, ask you back, what does darkness means? Because sun doesn't know what darkness is, isn't it? So then you tell him, look, you wait for half to say, at the summer time, we say 10 o'clock. And then when you go, you will see what darkness means. But if you hold it back, will the darkness come? No, because sun is there. What can you do? So when there is sun, there is no darkness. Similarly, when there is Andaryami's presence, there is no ignorance. There is no ignorance there. There is no ignorance there. One person said that a person, he says, he has known, somebody told him that there is darkness in the forest. There is a lot of darkness there, he said. So he wanted to find out what darkness is. So when he went there, he took a torch with him. And when he got inside, he looked for darkness with the torch. He couldn't find darkness anywhere. It is like this. Spiritual realization is like that. When self-realization happens, you don't know what ajnanam means. This ajnanam or avidya, what we are referring to so strongly in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we can't even find it. Where is it? That ajnanam, avidya we are discussing. So, because the very nature of Andaryami is always knowledge. Always in knowledge, isn't it? Satyam jnanam anandam brahmam akasham paramakasham. That is his nature. Satyam jnanam anandam. Eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. And eternal it is, and full of knowledge it is. And because it's knowledge, it doesn't know what is darkness means. So the nature of brahmam, the nature of the truth, is always knowledge. That is why darkness or ignorance cannot enter there. Ignorance is always in the subtle body and in the intelligence. That is all the ignorance is. Ignorance is not in the self. It's not in the self. So, and astitvam. Astitvam means eternity, always existing. And chit-shakti, chit-sarupam. Chit-sarupam means that chit-shakti means awareness. Eternity, awareness. Awareness is that satta-chitta. Sat is the eternity, chit is the awareness. And anandam is the blissfulness of the soul. These three things you cannot separate them from the self. You cannot take that away from the self. So instead of taking note of that, of the presence of the self inside, looking for Krishna outside in the world is something like you are walking around in the cave with a torch looking for the darkness. In a similar way, that you will never be able to find the darkness, isn't it? So all these things in this, this is an important thing. Anything what you feel truth in this world, where is that truth coming from? It's given by the Andaryami inside. Andaryami gives the truth to something. That is why you feel that when you see any object in this world, oh, it exists. You look at the tree exists. Who says the tree exists? Andaryami is saying from inside. So, because Andaryami gives the reality of the tree there to you, you experience the existence of the tree. If Antaryami doesn't accept that, the tree doesn't exist for us. Anything in this world, other personalities or any object, always that that is why in the what did Brahma says to Krishna, Satyavradam Satyabaram Trisatyam Satyasya Satyam Kradasatya Netram Satyal Magam Tvam Sharanam Prabhanaha Satyavradam Satyabaram Trisatyam Satyam Ja Satyam Nihitam Ja Satye Satyasya Yonim Kradasatya Netram Satyal Magam Tvam Sharanam Prabhanaha Satyam, that is Satyam. Satyam is not what we speak. Generally, what do we say Satyam means? Satyam means, oh, he is a very honest person, we say. Or sometimes we say, he always speaks the truth. No, Satyam is not all that. In Shastram, Satyam means that that existence, who gives the, any object in this world, who gives the truthfulness in there, the existence of that truthfulness, existence of anything, that reality of existence is come from the Antaryami. Therefore, Antaryami is the only truth. Nothing else is the truth. It is coming from inside, from that Antaryami inside. If you ask this question, Satyasya Satyam, that's why he is called Satyasya Satyam. Other things are all Satyam, no doubt. When we speak truth, there is Satyam. When you have a conversation, it's Satyam. You write down something, it's a Satyam. But here in the Bhagavatam, the verse, it's saying Satyasya Satyam. Satyasya Satyam means if this Satyam is not there, all the other things are not Satyam. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that verse in the 10th canto, in the first chapter or second chapter, when Lord Brahma is praying to Krishna. That verse is an important verse. That is because that's why it's right in the middle of Bhagavatam, of all the verses. He says there that Brahma's prayers to Brahma, that is the second chapter, Brahma is praying to Krishna. And this is called Garbhastuti. Garbhastuti means Krishna is in the womb of Devaki Devi and Vasudeva is standing next to her. And Brahma came with Shiva and all other Devadas. They all came together. And being the head of all the Devadas, Brahma started the prayers. And when he started glorifying Krishna, he wanted to point out this one important thing. He began like this. First, you will see about 8 or 10 verses is all about glorifying Krishna as the absolute truth, full of knowledge. So the first verse is Satyavradam Satyaparam Trisatyam Satyasya Yonim Nihitam Chasatye Satyasya Satyam Kratasatya Netram Satyalmagam Tvam Sharanam Prapannaha. It's a very, very important verse in the Bhagavatam. A famous Bhagavatam speaker, he took 5 years to talk about this one verse. That's how important that verse is. It brings up, he had so much to say about that verse. We think that these words are just simple words, isn't it? But how much the rishis who have given these verses to us, what an amount of thoughts must have gone behind it to create a verse like this, to explain Krishna in this way. Satyavradam Satyabharam Trisatyam Satyasya Yonim Nihitam Jasatye Satyasya Satyam Kratasatya Netram Satyalmagam Tvam Sharanam Prabhanaha. That verse is an important verse. If you go back to your Bhagavatam classes, you can look, we have discussed for about a couple of hours about it. But it is such an important verse. Carry a lot in that verse. Talking about Krishna as Satyam, that is important. When you see that it is that Antaryami inside who is giving reality to anything in this world. When you look at someone and if you say that he is existing, who is saying this? He gives the reality of his existence. If Antaryami has not recognized that, you can't say about his existence. That is how we are dependent on that Satyam inside, Antaryami's presence inside. That is why I say, Satyasya Yonim Nihitam Jasatye. Brahma is saying to Krishna, now one who is present inside you, pointing out to Devaki, It is that person from whom all satyam comes out. Nihitam satyasya yonim. And he is also the yoni. Yoni means the womb of all the satyam is him. That's how Brahma puts it. Satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye. And trisatyam. Trisatyam means what? Past, present and the future. He is true in the past, he is true now, and he will be true for always, all times to come. There is no time when he didn't exist. That's why he is trisatyam. Always truth, the truth. We are all relative truth, aren't we? For example, how long we are going to, we'll live, maximum we may survive here for 100 years. After that, there won't be any dinadhyatma or anyone else here. Isn't it? It will be gone. There is no satyam anymore in this body. Is there? This name, what we have got, is referring to this body. And this body is satyam only for a small period of time. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, whatever it is. After that, this is not satyam anymore. It's finished. But this satyam, Brahma is saying, trisatyam. It is satyam for all times to come. It was satyam for all time before, and for all time to come, it is satyam. Satyavradam satyabharam trisatyam satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye satyasya satyam hrata netram satyalmagam tvam sharanam prapannaha. So that satyam is what Krishna is saying here. That jyodi is that satyam. That jyodi is the satyam. Jyodisham vidat jyodi. So here, if you say that, oh no, this world is the truth, the creation is the truth, is it not? Anybody can ask that question. Yes. Why is it a truth? You have to ask that question. Because the person who is seeing the world is satyam. That is why the world is satyam. Otherwise, it's not satyam. Our general understanding is the world is satyam, I am not satyam, isn't it? Krishna is saying, world is not satyam, you are the satyam. The person who, from whom this reality of existence is coming, that person is the satyam. Not the world is changing, so how can it be the satyam? The inside Antaryami is not changing. He is the one who never changes, isn't it? So he is the satyam, not the world is the satyam. That's the point Krishna is making there. So, and when you go to the temple and if you say that the deity is Krishna, who is saying that? Antaryami is saying that. It is Krishna who is standing there. The reason is you are satyam. The deity may not be satyam, but you are satyam. That satyam, to confirm that, Antaryami has to confirm that deity is Krishna. Only then you can accept it as Krishna. If you go to the temple and you see the deity there, if the Antaryami says that's Krishna, it is Krishna. If Antaryami says that's not Krishna, then whatever you may say, it's not Krishna. So where is that satyam coming from? Antaryami says this. So that's why Antaryami is addressed as the satyam. Antaryami is addressed as satyam. So this light or illumination that's coming from Antaryami or from inside, it is in that light this creation is standing. If from inside that recognition is not there, the world does not exist. World does not exist. And everything is, whatever we speak, whatever we do, everything is actually vouched and supported by the Antaryami inside. If Antaryami does not recognize it, Antaryami doesn't sanction it, and Antaryami does not stand behind it, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work. Just like Prarabdham. Prarabdham is there. Prarabdham will be there. But, and because you recognize Prarabdham, Prarabdham is there. You recognize Prarabdham, Prarabdham is there. If you say it's destiny, it is destiny. If you say it's destiny, it is destiny. Everything is based on what Antaryami accepts. If Antaryami says there is no Prarabdham, there is no Prarabdham. But Antaryami has to say that. It is Antaryami's decision that is. Not our decision. Not our decision. So, so in a similar way, by your own effort, if you think you can achieve anything in this world, yes, it is possible. But again, that effort has to be sanctioned by the Antaryami inside. Then it is possible. So, in that case, all the effort that is necessary will come from you in the right direction. And because everything, whether it is Prarabdham or whether it is destiny or whether it is your effort, in all these cases, the light that is required for that action to happen or the effect to happen, it is coming from the Antaryami inside. That is the most important thing to realize. When you look at the spectrum of things, what's happening around this Antaryami, all the things that's happening around this Antaryami, if you analyze it, which we discussed yesterday and to some extent today, if you look at everything what is happening around this Antaryami, then these words will make sense. Which one? Jyotisham abhita jyoti tamasaparam uchyate jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam hrithi sarvasya vishtitam. Remember that verse. It is such an important verse. Jyotisham abhita jyoti tamasaparam uchyate jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam hrithi sarvasya vishtitam. That is what that verse is carrying so much in there. So much it is carrying through that. If the whole function of Krishna inside everyone as Antaryami, what all he does there, sitting there, that is what is explained in that verse. Krishna puts it, he is the light behind all other lights, that's all. But if you start looking at it in detail, you can see that Jagrat, Supnam, Sushupti, three states, he is the one who is determining. He doesn't get affected by that, isn't it? Jagrat, Supnam, Sushupti does not affect him. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa does not affect him. But if he is not there, Sattva, Rajasa, Tamasa is not there. If he is not there, Jagrat, Supnam, Sushupti is not there. This is the trick behind it. That Krishna is present there as a witness to everything what goes on here. So that is that center. That center is what Krishna is talking about. Jyotisham abhita jyoti. If that center is not there, nothing can function. Nothing can function. You won't be able to see anything. You won't be able to see anything. So, because this Antaryami is there, it is because of his support, I am able to say, yes, you are sitting there. Or you are such and such a person. I am recognizing or accepting the reality of every one of you here because of the Antaryami inside. It is because of his presence I am able to recognize the everyone's existence, others' existence, everything, including the whole world, in the same way. So, one interesting story about this. Vidyaranya Swamiji, I mentioned before, he wrote Panchadashi, isn't it? Panchadashi. Famous book, Panchadashi. In the Vedanta Prakaranam book, it is one of the top class, one very top level book that is. Many of the verses you will see from the Bhagavad Gita in Panchadashi. Many verses are from Bhagavad Gita. So he says there an interesting story. He was a minister. Dhyarani Swamiji was a minister in the Krishnadevaraya's time. In his empire, he was the prime minister or something. Later on, he took sannyas. There's a very interesting history about them. If you go into border between Karnataka and Maharashtra, somewhere in that border area, that is where Vijayanagaram Empire existed at the time when they ruled. And in that ministry, the two brothers, Bukka and Harihara, they came and established that empire. And he was the prime minister. Later on, he became famously known as Vidyaranya. Vidyaranya Swamiji. Vidyaranya Swamiji says a very interesting story about that. One person was meditating. One person left home and left his work, everything, and he got into this practicing meditation. He was practicing meditation. He was working in the king's palace, in the Vijayanagaram palace he used to work before. But he had a great problem. Every time when he took to spiritual life seriously, like Vilumangalam had a problem, similarly he had a problem. What is the problem? Problem was this, that when he was working in the palace, the king had a very beautiful daughter. Very beautiful daughter, the princess. He had a very beautiful princess. And every time when he sat for meditation, and he had studied Shastram, and he was practicing, he was doing a lot of sadhana also in spiritual life. But this one problem he had, what was that problem? Problem is this, as soon as he sat for meditation, the form of that princess used to come in his meditation. And he found it very, very difficult. Like Vilumangalam had the same problem, isn't it? Vilumangalam had the same problem. So he was finding it very difficult. And when that form appears, all his, he couldn't focus anymore in the sadhana. He couldn't focus anymore in the sadhana. Finally, he opened up his heart and told his spiritual master, "How will I cross over this problem? I'm unable to do anything about it," he said. So, this princess, when she was in the family, in the royal family, and when this person was in his service in the family, in the royal family, that was years ago. And that princess is not there anymore. She has gone very old or got married and gone away somewhere, and she is not there anymore in that form which was coming in front of him. You see, many years have gone since she left the palace. She got married to some prince and she went away from there. She is not there anymore. But for him, that memory of that princess was coming back in his mind again, in the same form. Although years have gone since then. So the spiritual master asked him, that is she there still in the palace, in the same way when she used to be there? He says, no, she has gone. But who is coming and standing in front of you? He said. That was his question. The spiritual master asked him this question, that who is standing then in front of you? Only then it struck him that I am the one who is giving reality to that form. That person in that form is not existing anymore. Is it not? Princess have gone old. Probably she has become a mother or grandmother. Her children, grandchildren, everything. And that beauty, everything, what he is imposing on her is not existing anymore. Only when the spiritual master asked him that, is she there still in that form? Then he realized that she doesn't exist anymore. But then who is making her real to you? It's my Antaryami inside. Is it not? It's a very interesting concept if you think about it. So many things have changing in this world. Just like you can see, 40 years ago I fought with someone and I'm still keeping it in my head. That person is dead and gone. I'm not forgotten about it. He's dead and gone from this world. I'm still thinking, when will I get an opportunity to pay back? So who is giving that reality? That person has done something. Imagine that he has done something to me. I got very upset with him. And I want that revenge is in me, hasn't gone. And he was a much older person than me. And so after a few years he died and he left this world. We don't know where he has gone, what he is doing now. But to me he exists still. Who make me feel that he is existing? Antaryami inside. This is that Antaryami principle. Antaryami's power is like that. So in a relative plane, some things happen. Two people fight with each other. And on a relative plane, that is, isn't it? Both are living there in two different bodies. In a few months or few years, both bodies have changed. Minds have changed. Everything has changed. But that one thing has not changed. What's that? That revenge hasn't changed. Why? Antaryami inside is giving truthfulness to it. That is the problem. So he told him that... Then when he told this to this disciple, spiritual master told him that your own soul is coming and standing in front of you in the form of that princess. Your own Alma is giving validity to that form in front of you, and you are accepting that. That is why there is no princess, nothing. That's all gone. That's finished. That form is gone. So that truthfulness of her existence, it has come from me. From him, in other words, from his Antaryami, it has come. And you have given life to it. You have given life to it. And then you are saying that the princess is still coming to me in my meditation, he said. And she comes to me and she is disturbing my meditation and all these things you are saying like that, he said. Remember this, he said. The person who is standing in front of you in the form of that princess is your own Antaryami who is standing there in that way, and that is Krishna. If you take it like that, then instead of knowing that it is a woman or it is a princess Or instead of all that, if you simply remember that it is your own super soul who has come and stood there in front of you, you can easily transcend that. You can easily transcend that. This is what Villuvangalam also did. Is it not? If you read Krishna Karanamadam, you will see there, Villuvangalam was very much attached to a woman who was engaged in the temple worship. Due to some association, he got attached to her. Found it very difficult to break away that relationship. It was so attached to, that attachment developed inside. Finally, Villuvangalam says about that. He is saying that, I started realizing in this, that these attachments are also have no meaning. Because why? Who is giving the reality to any of these things? It is the Antaryami inside. He gives reality to everything. Every relationship in this world, whomever you meet up with, all that reality, if you feel real, that reality is coming from inside. Antaryami is giving reality to another person. Anything in this world for that matter. And that is what Krishna is saying here, Hridi Sarvasya Vishtidam. That's what it means. That word, Hridi Sarvasya Vishtidam, means that. That Hridi Sarvasya Vishtidam, in everyone's heart, he is present there and is giving this, that awareness in everything. Because of the Antaryami's existence, this whole creation is standing on top of that. If Antaryami is not giving any reality of existence, this creation cannot exist. Creation won't exist if the Antaryami is not giving the creation any existence. So the existence, it is in the existence of this Antaryami, this creation is supported. Creation is standing because of the existence of Antaryami inside. So important is this Antaryami inside. And that Antaryami is present as aham, aham, aham inside everyone, isn't it? So aham bodham, and that we have to see, not with the mind, but because that awareness inside, you can't see that with the mind. Mind cannot see that, isn't it? And bodham or awareness, you have to experience through bodham only. Bodham has to be experienced through bodham only. That's why Krishna says, Atma you can only experience with Atma. Atma you can only experience with Atma. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there, when Krishna left this world, it is in the end of 11th canto, when Krishna left this world, how Krishna departed from here. If you read that verse, you'll say, Samyajjalpmanam Atmani Padmanetre Nimilayad. Before Krishna closed his lotus eyes, Samyajjalpmanam Atmani. There is a verse there that Atma gone back to Atma, it says. That is in the 11th canto. If you look into the verse, that means after Uddhava has left this world, Krishna decided to wind up his, yeah. If you look into the 31 chapter, Ekadasha Skandam, chapter 31, it says, Bhagavan Pitamaham Viksha, that is the fifth verse, Vibhudi Atmano Vibhum, Samyojalpani Chalpmanam, Palpanetre Nyamilayan. That is that verse. Bhagavan Pidamaham Viksha Vibhudi Atmano Vibhu Samyo Jalpani Chalpmanam Palpanetre Nyamilayan. Samyo Jalpani Chalpmanam. What does that mean? Samyo Jalpani Chalpmanam. Parikshit also did the same thing. That while departing from this world, Samyo Jalpani Chalpmanam, taking oneself into its position where he came from. Body has come and he has presented all the pastimes he did here. Finally, what did Krishna do? That Bhagavan Pidamaham Viksha Vibhudi Altmano Vibhum Samyo Jalpani Chalpmanam Palpanetre Nyamilayan. And then he closed his lotus eyes. Krishna, that is how Krishna departed from this world. Lokha Abhiramam Sudanam Dharana Dhyana Mangalam Yoga Dharanaya Agnya Athagdwadham Avishal Sokam. Without burning the body, specifically mentions, Shuka Brahmarshi says there, Shushri Shukavaja, Shuka Sukadeva Goswami is saying specifically, unlike others, Balaram Swami, he is the other way. Balaram's departure, if you look the before that, you will see what he did. How Balaram and Krishna left in two different ways. Balaram, Krishna's case, Samyo Jalpani Jalpanam Palpanetra Nimilayam. In Balaram's case, you will see that how Balaram left this world.
രാമസമുദ്രവേലായം യോഗമാസായ പൗരുഷം രഥത്യാജലോകം മാനുഷ്യം സംയോജാൽപാനമാത്മനി.
അഗെയിൻ ദ സെയിം സംയോജാൽപാനമാത്മനി. ആത്മാ ഗോയിങ് ബാക്ക് ടു ആത്മാ. സംയോജാൽപാനമാത്മനി.
ബട്ട് യോഗമാസായ പൗരുഷം തത്യാജലോകം മാനുഷ്യം സംയോജാൽപാനമാത്മനി.
ദർ ഇസ് എ ഡിഫറൻസ് ദയർ. That in Krishna's case, the body was not given up here. Body was taken with him.
Yoga dharana, through yoga power, agnaya adhagdhva. Adhagdhva means not allowing to burn.
Adhagdhva dham avishal swakam.
With the body, went back. But at the same time, alma samyoj almanam almani. Alma went back to the alma.
In Balaram's case also, he says, Yogamasthaya Paurusham Tatyaja Logam Manushyam Samyo Jalpanam Almani.
Again, Almanam Almani. That is the most important thing there.
That is what Krishna is saying here also, that Alma Vastu, we are that Alma. Alma is the most important thing. He says here that Aham, it is present in everyone. That is that Samyo Jalpanam Almani. Up to that point, aham, that was present in there, that aham goes and dissolves in the truth.
Amu jalpana malpani.
So, with the bodham, that bodham, awareness, you cannot experience through the mind. It has to be experienced through the consciousness only. You can't experience that through the mind. That is the point Krishna is maintaining here. That Alma, Bodham, or Bodham, you have to go through Bodham. Consciousness through consciousness. Or Alma through Alma only. Altmanam.
If you do like that, then the avidya has gone from inside. That's what it means.
When this happens, what that means is, of course, in Krishna's and Balaram's case, it's different. Not like our case. In our case, what's happening is, when Samyujjalpanam Altmani, if that happens, that means, if that happens, this can happen while living in this world. At that stage, the ignorance or ajnanam inside completely goes away. And when that goes away, this light inside, what Krishna is Jyoti, Krishna is referring to, that will become manifest in a person. And that is what Krishna mentioned earlier. Nyeyam yatat pravakshyami.
If you look earlier in that verse, when Krishna started this conversation, the verse before Sarvada Panipadamdal, that is that verse in the in the verse number 13, I think.
Nyeyam yatat pravakshyami yajnatvam amrdam asnute anadi malparam brahma nasatthanna sudhuchyade.
Remember that word nyeyam, Krishna has used there. That nyeyam, Krishna says, nyeyam yatat pravakshyami there. That nyeyam is referring to this jyoti, what is inside. And that Krishna has completed that topic discussion there. With this, that chapter, the most important message Krishna has spoken.
Starting from that verse, which one? Nyeyam yatat pravakshyami, right up to this one, Jyotisham Abhita Jyoti. I don't know how many verses that is six verses, isn't it?
Those six verses is the cream of that chapter. Those six verses.
Which one?
Nyeyam yatat pravakshyami yat nyatvam amrdam asnute anadi malparam brahma nasatthanna suduchyade.
Then after that, sarvadappani badamdal sarvadokshishiro mukham sarvadashudimal loke sarvam avrutya tishtati sarvendriya gunabhasam sarvendriya vivarjidam asaktam sarvabhrachaiva nirgunam gunabhoktracham.
ബഹിരന്തശ്ച ഭൂതാനാം അചരം ചരമേവ ച സൂക്ഷ്മത്വാദ് അവിജ്ഞേയം ദൂരസ്ഥം ചാന്തികേച തത് അവിഭക്തം ച ഭൂതേഷു വിഭക്തം ഇവ ച സ്ഥിതം ഭൂതഭർത്തൃ ചതൽ ജ്ഞേയം ഗ്രസിഷ്ണു പ്രഭവിഷ്ണു ച. Then finally, jyotisham abhidat jyoti tamasa paramuchyate jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtitam. So these verses which Krishna has talked in depth about Antaryami, which we have spoken last two or three classes, isn't it? So if you can kindly go through that verses again and again and remember all that, what remember means not in the mind and the brain, but recharge yourself with that understanding how Krishna has put it there in that verses. They are important. After saying that, Krishna concludes in the next verse. So after all that Krishna has spoken here in these verses, Krishna's conclusion in the next verse, we'll look at that. Iti kshetram tatha jnanam jnayam choktam samasatam മത്ഭക്തമേതദ്വിജ്ഞായാം മത്ഭാവായോപപദ്യതേ ഇതി ക്ഷേത്രം തഥാ ജ്ഞാനം ജ്ഞേയം ചോക്തം സമാസതാം മത്ഭക്തമേതവിജ്ഞായാം മത്ഭാവായോപപദ്യതേ ഇതി ക്ഷേത്രം തഥാ ജ്ഞാനം ജ്ഞേയം ചോക്തം സമാസത മദ്ഭക്ത ഏതദ്വിജ്ഞായ മദ്ഭാവായോപപദ്യതേ മദ്ഭാവായോപപദ്യതേ. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് thus the field of activities, the body, knowledge and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this through and thus attain to my nature. Idi kshetram tada jnanam yeyam choktum samasada malbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayopa padyade. So here, up to this point, Krishna has spoken in essence about the kshetram. Earlier, first Krishna spoke about kshetram. Isn't it? Kshetram means the body, the field of activities. And Krishna also later on, afterwards Krishna spoke about jnanam. Isn't it? And then Krishna spoke jnayam. And Krishna said, there are three differences. There is no differences. Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam, Hridi Sarvasya Vishtitam. You may wonder here, Krishna has, instead of saying Kshetrajnan, because this chapter started with Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. Now Krishna is not using that word Kshetrajnan anymore. Krishna is saying Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. Instead of saying Kshetrajnan, he uses another three words. Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. And actually, Kshetrajnan is that Jnanam. And Kshetrajnan is that Jnayam. Kshetrajnan is Jnanagamyam. You see, chapter began with these two words, isn't it? Which one? Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. First, Krishna spoke about Kshetram. Then, in the last 7-8 verses, Krishna spoke about Jnanam. And finally concluded that, he said that, Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. All three are one. They are not different. And he left it like that. Didn't use the word Kshetrajnan. Actually, it is Kshetrajnan Krishna was discussing. But Kshetrajnan is not different from Jnanam. Kshetrajnan is Jnanam. Kshetrajnan is Jnayam. Kshetrajnan is Jnanagamyam. So, that is the reason that Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. In other words, the sadhana for reaching the Kshetrajnan is Jnanam. The sadhana for reaching the Kshetrajnan is Jnanam. And
the form of the nature of Kshetrajnan, Kshetrajnan's identity is Jnayam. Is Jnayam. And Kshetram, Kshetrajnan, and the process or the method by which to reach the Kshetrajnan, and that is Jnanagamyam. All the three things Krishna has spoken. You see, the same Kshetrajnan, Krishna has split into three here. Which one? Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. Jnanam means the process of knowledge. Jnayam means the one that is to be known, the goal. And Jnanagamyam means the process. Jnanam means the knowledge. Jnanagamyam is the process. And Jnayam is the goal. Jnayam is the goal. See the difference there, the three? Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. Krishna split that into three. Jnanam means that knowledge. That knowledge. Jnayam means that the object what is to be known. And Jnanagamyam is that process. What Krishna has explained. What, which one? Amanitam, Adambitam, onwards, those verses. That is all Jnanagamyam. Which will take you into the goal. Which will take you to the goal. So that is what that Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam, three words have come like that. So generally when you say, before you realize this, you call it as Kshetrajnan. After realization, you call it as Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. Because by now, Krishna is expecting that you have got all this and you have got the right understanding. Therefore, he used the word Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam instead of saying Kshetrajnan. Kshetrajnan is when it is when there is no understanding, something inside. That's all. Kshetrajnan inside. That's all. At that stage, you can only separate it like that, Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. But after you have understood this process of what Krishna has spoken in all these verses, if it has been properly taken on board, I won't say understood, but if it has properly assimilated inside, then Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam is the right thing. Because the knowledge is there, Jnanam. Jnayam is the goal, Jnanagamyam is the process. Process through which you get it. Isn't it? So, what is that? Jyotisham Abhisarve, Jyotisham Abhisar Jyoti, Hridi Sarvese Tamasa Paramuchyade, Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam, Hridi Sarvese Vishtidam. In other words, the light for all other lights. That's how it begins, isn't it? And in other words, what does that mean? It means the awareness or consciousness, aham Atma Gudakesha. That Atma inside, Bodham awareness, that is what Krishna is saying. And because of that aham Atma Gudakesha, the whole world is manifested in front of us. In front of us. If you, and the same thing we have seen earlier in Kathopanishad also, the same thing we have spoken. In the end you will see, Nadatra Suryo Bhadi. Remember yesterday we talked about it. Na tatra suryo bhadi, na chandra taragam, nema vidyido bhadi, kuto yamani de tameva, bhandam anubhadi sarvam, tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. Na yatra suryo bhadi, sun cannot shine if this andaryam is not there in them. Na chandra taragam, nor the moon nor the stars cannot be there if he is not there. They are also shining because of his presence there. We are also, this body is functioning, running around, doing various things. Why? Because he is, that Jyoti is inside. And the same Jyoti is in the sun, as well as in the moon, as well as in the stars. Nema vidyuto bhadi, and that light, what he is experiencing from the sunshine, is because of Andaryami's presence inside there. Sun's Andaryami is the reason behind the light, not hydrogen or helium, like the scientists are telling us. Scientists are telling us that the sun will run out the gas, I believe, after they calculated it. They got the answer for everything. Only thing is, why they say, and we have to believe all this, that they tell us that they have calculated it, how much helium is left in the sun planet. When the helium runs out, then the sun will drop dead. They have already decided that. This person who is saying this, he will be gone from here first, before the sun goes. So many people have come and we are looking at the sun and saying all these things to him. That look, your life is only this much. And Krishna is saying to us that he is able to shine like this because practically you are telling Krishna that your life is only, lifespan is only so much. Like we are calculating our life. Is it not? Surya Narayana is addressed in the Bhagavatam, you will see in the 12th canto. In 12 different months, Krishna's different forms takes control of the sun and runs the sun planet. And Dwadasha Aditya they are called. In Vrindavanam, if you go, you will see that Dwadasha Aditya Kila. That is very close to Sanatana Goswami's temple. Radha Madan Mohan temple, there is a Dwadasha Adityas, the 12 Adityas paying their respects to Krishna. It is there. There is a famous rock there, Dwadasha Aditya Kila, they call it. So for scientists, all that doesn't exist. For them, it is gas, hydrogen or helium or whatever that is burning there. And when the gas runs out, its life is over. Just like our gas, when it runs out, we go, and he also has to go. Yes, they have calculated. Everything is calculation only for them. For everything is calculation. So Kathopanishad is saying to us, Natatra Suryo Bhadi. Sun cannot shine if Krishna is not there. He is there. That is why he is shining. Na Chandra Na Taragam. Nor the stars nor the moon cannot shine if Krishna isn't there. Nema Vidyudo Bhandi. That even the lightning is Krishna. That lightning that you experience is also Krishna. Kato Yamanitameva Bhadam Anubhadi Sarvam. It is only due to presence of Krishna, everything else is shining in this world. Tasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vibhadi. It's only because of presence of Krishna, everything is shining in this world. What does it mean? It means exactly the same thing, what Krishna is saying here, that we give Tasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vibhadi. It's a famous Upanishad statement. This Tasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vibhadi. Due to presence of whom, everything else has got some reality in this world. We all have some reality of existence. Why? Because of Krishna's presence inside. Similarly, everything in this creation. Only due to presence of Krishna, there is a reality of existence. Otherwise, there is no reality for that. That's the point Krishna was making there. And so, the sun, moon and the stars, all of them, but on their own, they cannot show the, they cannot on their own make us aware of its existence. On their own they can, because they cannot show us that power behind that. Krishna's power is coming through them to us in the form of light, sunlight, moonlight and everything. But sun and the moon cannot present to us that power behind them. What is actually, just like we are not able to say to others that look at this Antaryami inside, how it's operating. In a similar way, the sun, the moon and other planets also cannot show the presence of Krishna within them. But one thing is, because he is there, they are shining in this world. They are shining in this world. Tameva bhadim. Krishna says, the Upanishad says, Tameva Bhandam Anubhadi Sarvam. Tasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vibhadi. That is that statement. Tameva Bhandam Anubhadi Sarvam. Everything is shining because of him, his presence there. Tasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vibhadi. Because he is there, everything is shining in this world. Shining means that its existence, reality, is there for everything. Everything, whatever you feel, wherever there is reality, that reality is because of his Krishna's presence. And because he is there, everything else is present here. So, there is a book called Prabodha Sudhagaram. Ajari Swamiji wrote this book on a very higher level of understanding about the Vedantam, where he mentions the same thing in a very nice way. What Prabodha Sudhakaram, you can see the book, it's on the web, you can read it also. So, like an experiment, he mentions there, like an experiment. He says, you go into a dark room and make a lamp there to light. Light a lamp there and then cover, say, a candle or something like that. Cover the lamp with an earthen pot, a clay pot. You cover the whole lamp. But keep some holes on this earthen pot, say 5 different holes on the pot, and keep the pot on top of the candle which is burning there. And what will happen now? The light will come through the 5 holes, isn't it? The light will come out through the 5 holes. And while coming, and when the light comes out, against each hole you keep one object. For example, against one hole, when the light comes out, there you can keep a fruit or something. Another hole, when the light comes out, you keep a jewel against the light there. And in another hole, when the light comes out, you keep some other object, a fan or a a perfume or something like that. Different objects, I'm saying. So five different objects you keep against the light, which comes through five different holes. The lamp is same. Five holes, through that the light is coming out. You keep five different objects against the light that comes out from inside. So when you look at it, what has happened now, that he says here, that in the verses it mentions that Dibo Jodi Rahaiga Meva Sharanam Dehetad Atmasthita. He says, Dibo Jodi Ahaiga Meva Sharanam Dehetad Atmasthita. He's saying there that same Jodi, same light inside, it came through five different holes and it is illuminating five different objects. But there are no five lights, there's only one light, isn't it? But it comes out and illuminates five different objects. Acharya Swami mentions here that in this body also, in the kshetram, Antaryami is only one. There's only one Antaryami. And it is that Antaryami which you are experiencing here is aham, aham, or awareness inside, in that center, which you are experiencing. And that Antaryami comes through the eye and it gives you a form of reality in a particular form. It gives you a reality. Do you understand? It comes through the eye and it gives you a reality in a particular form. It gives you a reality in a particular form. And it comes through the ear and gives you a reality in the form of a sound. It goes through this nose and gives you the reality in the form of a smell. And comes through the tongue and gives the reality in the form of a taste. And it comes through the skin and gives reality in the form of touch. So his point is, the light inside is one, comes through the five holes and it illuminates five different objects in front of you, is it not? So you are seeing five different objects, but they are not, light is not five different lights, it's one light that comes through five different holes. So similarly, that center, what it is, the lamp is inside, that is the hridayam, and that is what Krishna is saying here as hridi sarvasya vishtidam. Your experience in the world may be different. It doesn't matter what you are experiencing in this world. Some things you are seeing, some things you are tasting, some things you are touching, some things you are smelling, some things you are hearing. Every experience in this world comes under this five category, is it not? Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. It is in these five things all your experiences in this world. The world is under this five category. Lot of things we see, lot of things we hear, lot of things we smell, lot of things we taste, and lot of things we touch. Anything, if you take, what happens through this body comes through under these five categories. Krishna is saying here that the lamp inside Jyoti, Hridi Sarvasya Vishtidam, in all these five holes he is going out. Who? Antaryami is going out through different holes. And he is giving you some reality to this world in these five different ways. In these five different ways. And so, but he is always at the same place, in the center. And through the eyes, the form, through the ears, the sound, through the nose, the smell, and the skin, the touch, and the tongue, the taste. So, through these five senses, what you are experiencing, that what you are experiencing inside through these five senses, it goes into, and where is the recognition coming from? Bodham, awareness, isn't it? when you are experiencing all different things in this world, where is it experienced? In your bodham, in your awareness, which we call it as bodham or consciousness or awareness. Other words used in the Bhagavatam is prajna. Prajna is another word. Nyapti, another word. So you may address all these things with different names, but the vastu is the same. It is one and the same thing. And that vastu, what Krishna is referring to, Kriti Sarvasya Vishtidam, that is what Krishna calls it as Kshetrajna. So Kshetrajna, Andaryami, Nyapti, and Prajna, awareness, consciousness, Brahman, whichever way you address it, substance is one. Substance is one. If you understand the way it is operating, you can see that different names you may find, different devotees have addressed in different ways. Devaki Devi calls Nyapti. Called, another place is called as Kevala Anubhava Anandam. Kevala Anubhava Ananda Swarupam. In the prayers you will see that. In Navayogi's prayers also it comes. Kevala Anubhava Anandam. That is according to their realization they are saying this. Whatever words they have used, that does not matter. So keeping all these five holes in the body, holding that, and through all these five holes, the power that is flowing through is the same Chit Shakti. That is another name for that, Chit Shakti, that comes out from there. So that is why Upanishad says to us, Krishna has cheated us. Do you know that? Krishna has actually cheated us. Why he has cheated us? It is like this. All the senses are opened up to the words. If you think about this carefully, you will notice how Krishna has cheated us. What it is he has put these five holes in the body, right? And he went and sat inside. And then he started going out through these holes into the world. And then he is saying, look inwards. This is the problem. This is the problem. It is the Kathopanishad words. It is Kathopanishad is saying to us this, that Krishna has cheated us. First, he put the holes in the body, these five holes. That's how this world has come, with which we are fighting whole day and night, isn't it? To survive here, you have to work. You have to have so many problems with so many people in so many different ways. And nobody seems to be happy still. And all kinds of problems. We are only analyzing the field. We are not analyzing where it's all starting from. It's starting from there. So he put the holes in. Then what did he do? Instead of going and sitting outside, he goes and sits inside. And sitting inside, then he starts going out through the holes into the world. And then he's saying to us, no, don't look into the world. Go inwards. Look. He goes out and then he tells us to go inwards. This is what has happened. That verse, if you look, you will see in the Upanishad, Kathopanishad, you will see that verse. Paranchikani. it is the second chapter, first verse. Paranchikani vitranal swayambhu tasmal parapashyadina andara alpman kaschil diraha pratyagalpmanama ikshal avarta chakshul amrdatvamichan. It's a very important verse. Paranjikhani vyatranal swayambhu tasmal parang pashyadi andaralman kaschil diraha pratyagalpmanam aikshal avurta chakshu amrdatvamichan. He says, Paranjikhani vyatranal swayambhu. Normally, swayambhu means, generally referring here as to the jiva. In jiva's case, then all the indriyas, paranjikhani, the five senses, Paranji Vedranal, he says. Vedranal means it is looking outward. You see, these senses, have you looked at the senses? Senses will only look outside. Why can't the eye start looking inwards? Why is it only looking outward? Once it starts looking inwards, it will be a problem, isn't it? What if the eye starts seeing what's going on inside us instead of looking outside? Similarly, if the nose starts smelling inside, it won't be very much surviving there when it starts seeing all the things what is inside. And same thing, taste, touch, all other senses also, all of them is outward looking. None of them is inward looking, isn't it? So, therefore, Parak, he says here, Parak. Paranjikhanivya trinal swayambhu tasmal parang pashadi andaralman. Because Krishna has created those senses in that way, it is always parang pashyadi na andaralman. It will only look outward. It won't look inwards. Na andaralman, it says. It won't, because if the senses have started looking inwards, it will see Krishna inside there. Is it not? But instead what has happened? The senses have been told, don't look inwards, always look outwards. And he put them like that. All the senses. As soon as he come out from the womb of the mother, the training starts how to look outwards, isn't it? And then little by little, and when all the senses started looking outwards, we say, yeah, everything is sorted now. It's perfect now, the situation. But whereas a baby, when it's born, it doesn't have that. Babies can't see what, he doesn't see everything like the way we see now, isn't it? For baby. And that's why mothers started training up that, they call it drishti. Drishti means its vision gets right. They started this colored balloons and all that, or some toys started in front of the child. And initially the child won't look at you. It's a very small baby. If you shake something here, he'll be looking somewhere else. Because its senses hasn't come yet, started working. Neither the eyes nor the ears. And then you go in front of it and start shaking for a long time, 3-4 months time, you'll see slowly it starts seeing that. That means its senses of knowledge and action has started working slowly. So when the knowledge of senses and action has started working, we say that everything is in order. Whereas in Hastamalaka, when it came to Shankaracharya to see him, none of them were working. None of the senses were working. So Acharya Swamiji told him, he's very fortunate that this hasn't happened to him. What has happened to all of us? He said, if he stays with you, to his parents, he said. The child was 13 years old at that time. Hastamalaka was 13 years old. He told, he should let him not stay with you. Because if he stays with you, you will be expecting this from him. Whereas he, because he has realized the truth, his senses cannot go out anymore. So better that he stays with me, he said, and took him away from there, from the parents. So, paranjikhani vyatranal soyambhu tasmal parang pashyadinandaralman kashchil dhiraha pratyagalpana chakshu maikshal avurta chakshu amrutatvamichan. Because the senses are installed in that particular way, it can only go outward and see the things outside. But Upanishad says, kashchil dhiraha, a person who is dhira. Dhira means what Krishna calls it as, also dhira, isn't it? Dhira satrana mukhyadi. Who is dhira? Dhira is that person who is decided to change that attention of the senses from the world to the soul, to the self, isn't it? Surat dhiraha, that he has managed to win over the senses. And he has, why? Because amrutatvam ichchan. He wants eternity. Amrutatvam. Avurta chakshu means that turning these senses which are outward, inward looking, and pratyagalpana maikshal. And in that way, if you turn these senses inward looking, and when you start seeing the senses in under alma inside, andaryami inside, then he is called dhira. He is called khera. So this word dhira you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, in many places, Upanishads also. Dhira generally refers to one who is courageous. But in the spiritual literature, when dhira is mentioned, it means one who is very determined, ready to come out of this cycle of birth and death and determined to fight out these senses and turn the attention towards the self and go back to the inquiring about the self and realizing the self. He is called Dhira. That is why that verse is important. It is the Kathopanishad words. Paranjikhani vyatranal swayambhu tasmal parang pashyadinandaralman kaschil dhiraha pratyagalpmanam aikshan avurta chakshu amrutatvamichan. Avurta chakshu amrutatvamichan. Yes, avurta chakshu amrutatvamichan. So, So Dhiraha, Krishna says here, that definition is that when the senses are strong and in the youth, and while you are in a position to do something about it, at that time itself, that Akhilaswada Ranyayam, that intense desire, one who has cultivated Tiraskritya Akhilash Abhilashani, that he is able to realize that truth. That is what that verse is saying here. So that means, he says, you'll see that Kaschil Dhiraha Prodat Tastal Parang Pashadina Andaralman Trinaval Swayambhu. Trinaval Swayambhu means he is able to ignore the demands of the senses. That's required, isn't it? That means sense control. Control of the senses. And able to engage the senses in the inquiry of the self. That means in relationship with remembrance of Krishna or self-inquiry, and that courage. Because in a natural way, mind will go into the world. So to turn the attention of the mind which goes into the world, to take it away from there and turn the attention towards the person who is seeing the world. Drik rather than drishyam. Drishyam. And Upanishad says, Shrotrasya Shrotram, Manasaha Manoyam, Vachaya Vacham, Pranasya Pranaha, Chakshushaha Chakshu, Adimuchya Dhiraha, Pretya Asmad Lokad, Ajanaha Bhavandhi. Upanishad says like that. In other words, through the ears, attention goes into the awareness or consciousness which is present behind the ear. Isn't it? That means every senses, when it is operating behind the senses, Antaryami is there. That's why senses are operating. So instead of the senses going into the world and trying to experience the world, the senses turns back and goes back to the Antaryami which is operating the senses. For example, ear, instead of going, it goes back and looks at who is operating me from behind. How am I hearing? And that is Antaryami. He turns the attention towards that. Same thing with the eyes. Same thing with the tongue. Tongue, when it is tasting, the tongue is thinking, where is this tasting coming from? Tasting activity is coming from Antaryami. If Antaryami does not give you the capacity to taste, what will you taste? All prasadam will taste the same then. Is it not? So the difference in the taste is due to the Antaryami's presence inside. Antaryami says to us, Laddu is nice. We say, yes, Laddu is nice. Antaryami says, Jalebi is nice. We say, Jalebi is nice. Antaryami says, Khichdi is no good. Khichdi is no good. So who made this nice? This is nice and this is not nice? We should think that, isn't it? When we are eating, we are saying, well, in the plate of prasadam, all types of things on the prasadam. We make the decision, let me enjoy first the ones what I like first. Who is making that decision? Antaryami is making the decision. If Antaryami has not said, all of them will taste the same. That's the problem. So the same thing, what is happening is that not only the tongue, the sound, the eyes, the nose, and touch, all of them, something is nice to touch. Why do we say? Antaryami says it's nice to touch. Therefore, you're feeling that. So, what's happening is the senses are going after the sense objects. Is it not? Instead, knowing that all these senses are acquiring its power from the Antaryami, so instead of going to the sense object, if the senses, it turns its power towards the place where it's coming from, then that is what this verse is talking about. He says, Trinaval Swayambhu Asmal Parang Pashyadi Na Andaralman. Instead of Parang Pashyadi, going outside into the world, Andaralma is experienced by the self. That is why. So, that is why. Kaschil Dhiraham Amrudaha Bhavandi. That person will experience Amrudatvam. It says in the verse, isn't it? The Upanishad also says there, that paranga kanchil that he say kaschil dhiraha amrutatvam ichchan amrutatvam. Exactly the same word Krishna is using in this verse also. Did you notice that? That in that nyayam yatva amrutam ashnute. Remember that? Yeyam yattat pravakshyami yajnatvam amrutam ashnute. That amrutam, that nectar experience, that is what that is talking about. That amrutatvam, experience of that nectar, Krishna is also saying, what is here also, that kaschil dhiraha pratyagalpmanam aichan, that avurta chakshu amrutatvam ichan. If he is desiring for that amrutatvam, that is the way, Upanishad says. Krishna is also saying exactly the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. So, it's 5 o'clock, we'll have a short break then. So,
चेदो दर्पणमर्जनं भवमहादावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रिका विदरणं विद्यावदू जीवनं आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदं पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासुभनं परं विजयदे श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नाम्नामगारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता नियमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशं तव कृपा भगवान् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागाः तृणारभीषुनीचेन तरोरभी सहिष्णुन अमानिनामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनि ईश्वरि भवदाद्भक्तिरहेतुवित्वयि अयि नन्दतनुजकिङ्करं पतितां मां शमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूलिसदृशं विचिन्तयाम् अदियावदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निचितं कदा वभू तवन्नामग्रहणे भविष्यति आयुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे न मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां भिनष्टुमाम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विधदा दुलम्बरो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नयमनापराहम्
सो इति क्षेत्रं तथा ज्ञानं द लास्ट् वर्स् 19 इति क्षेत्रं तथा ज्ञानं ज्ञेयं शोक्तं समासता मल्भक्त एतद्विज्ञाय मद्भावायोपपद्यते कृष्ण सैस्य इसने सो we have come, we have looked at this way, that it is shrotrasya shrotram manasahai manoyam vachaya vacham pranasya pranaha chakshuha chakshu adimuchya dhiraha. We saw about dhira. Dhira is that person who, instead of using the senses to enjoy the sense objects, turns its attention towards the source where it receiving its power from. When it turns its attention towards that source where it receives its power from, then it, that state is called samadhi state. Samadhi state. And at that point, it comes inside as bodham or awareness. And being situated in the hrit, Krishna says there in the previous verse, you will notice there, that hriti sarvasya vishtitam. See that word Krishna has used? Hriti sarvasya vishtitam. That means all the senses, it stops its activities in the world, in the sense objects, and goes back towards that bodham inside and gets settled there. Hriti sarvasya vishtitam. That's what he's saying there. That hriti sarvasya, and that is samadhi. And amrutaha bhavandi. Nyayatvam amrutatvam asnude. Krishna has mentioned that before. So here, that what is the nature of amrutatvam? Almam, that one who has started looking inward, looking andarmukhatvam, inward looking and analysis of the self inside, alma vicharam it is called, the analysis of the self inside, it is from that this amrutatvam comes, this immortality comes. Pratyasmad lokad amrutaha bhavandi. After saying this, Krishna has completed this whole topic. Krishna has completed the whole topic. If you look into the commentary on this verse, it says, Mal bhakto mai ishware sarvajne paramaguru vasudeve samarpita sarvalpma bhavom yat pashyadi shrunodi sprishyadi vasarvam eva bhagavan vasudeva idi evam grahavishta buddhihi mal bhaktaha. That is how Acharya Swami mentions this. He says here, then mal bhaktaha, my devotee, mai ishware sarvajne paramaguru vasudeve, my Ishware, I am, Krishna is saying, I am who is Ishwara, the controller. Sarvajna, one who knows everything. Paramaguru, the supreme spiritual master. And Vasudeva. Vasudeva means one who is present in everyone, in that sense. Ishwaraha, Sarvajnaha, Paramaguru, Vasudeva. And to him, my devotee, Samarpita Sarvalma Bhavam, he is completely surrenders to that Antaryami, who is all these things. Samarpitaha, what understanding? Sarvalma Bhavam, that he is present in the heart of everyone. Then, yet Pashyati Shrinodi Sprishati, that means the activities of the senses. Pashyati means to see, Shrinodi means to hear, and Sprishati means to touch. So, all these things, Sarvam Eva Bhagavan Vasudeva, that means when the senses are operating, knowing very well that it is Krishna who is touching, Krishna who is seeing, Krishna who is hearing, Krishna who is smelling, in that way. Sarvam Eva Bhagavan Vasudeva Iti Evam Graha Avishta Buddhi Mal Bhaktaha. If a person's buddhi has started working in that way, he is my devotee, says the Bhashya, based on these last few verses. Mal Bhakto Mai Ishwari Sarvajne Paramaguru Vasudeve Samarpita Sarvalma Bhavam Yal Pashyadi Shrinu Sprishyadi Va Sarvam Eva Bhagavan Vasudeva Iti Evam Gahavishta Buddhi Mal Bhaktaha. That is the name. This is a devotee. This is what a devotee means. We are completely misunderstood about what a devotee means. Thus, this all happens in a devotee normally. All these things. For us, a devotee means he is wearing a dhoti, he has got a nice shikha and a tilak, and he is following certain programs in his life, rituals or whatever, some ritualistic programs he does, and we stamped him as a devotee, isn't it? But look at Shastram, how it says. Shastram says a devotee is that person. When you see, Bhagavad Gita is not interested very much externally what you are doing in this world. That is another thing. That is within the framework of Maya, isn't it? But inside this world, Antaryami's world, what is going on there, that's more important. Even when talking about devotee, Krishna never spoke anything about the external things, isn't it? Always about the internal aspects. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, you look at all those verses, starting from the 12th verse. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, Maitra Karuna Yevaja, Narmamo Nirahangara, Samadukha Sugakshami, Sandushta Sadadam Yogi, Yada Alma, Dradanishaya, Mayarpida Manobuddhi, Ryomal Bhakta Same Priya, Esmanu Dijade Logo, Loganu Dijade Jaya, Harsham, Morsham, Oyam, Uduage, Muktoya Sajame Priya, Yona Krishna, Nadveshti, Nashoja, Nagam Shadi, Shiva, Shubaritia, Yomal Bhakta Same Priya. Krishna goes on about 8-10 verses, all talking about what is a devotee's consciousness. That's what Krishna is interested. Not that how much activities what he is doing outside. Similarly, here also, when Antaryami comes, this is the principle. Mal Bhaktaha, my devotee is, Mai, referring Krishna saying to himself, he is fixed in me as Antaryami there. His attention is there. Ishwaraha, Antaryami is the Ishwara. Ishwara Sarva Bhudanam, Hridesha Arjuna Tishtadi. That consciousness. Sarvajnaha, he knows everything what is going on. So, all credit to him. Then, Paramaguru, he is the supreme spiritual master. This is a very important thing. Because if you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what did they say about the spiritual master? Almano Guru Almaiva. The first spiritual master is inside you. Only when he decides, he manifests in front of you as a spiritual master in a form outside. So at that time, you should be in a position to recognize that the spiritual master standing in front of you is that spiritual master who has manifested as Antaryami from inside. How many of us think like that? Almano Guru Almaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. Shastram sees things completely in a different way. We see things completely based on what we have been told or propaganda has told us, isn't it? So you can see, even spiritual master is inside you. He manifests in front of you when you are ready. When Antaryami wants it, he takes a form and comes in front of you. When Antaryami wants it, that happens, not otherwise. So that is why when we make this spiritual master's position, in a way we give reality to it. It's not so true, because as Bhagavatam is saying, Uddhava, Krishna is saying this to Uddhava. Krishna says, Almano Guru Almeiva, Almano Guru Almeiva, Purushasya Visheshada, Pratyakshena Anumana Abhyam, Shreyasa Manuvindade. You will see in the Uddhavadesham, Krishna saying this. So similar here also, Sarvajne Ishware Sarvajne Paramaguru Vasudeve. Antaryami inside is the one who comes as Guru, Vasudeva. Samarpita Sarvalma Bhavaha. And a person who is in the spiritual life, his approach has to be Samarpidam Sarvalma Bhavam. That Sarvalma Bhavam means recognizing that presence of Antaryami in everyone all the time and surrendering to that principle. Yal Pashyadi Shranodi Sprishyadi Va Sarvam. Hearing, smelling, touching, seeing, all those things. Sarvam evam Bhagavan Vasudeva. Everything is happening from inside that Antaryami's power. Idi evam graha avishta buddhihi mal bhaktaha. A person who is seeing all these things in this way, he is my devotee, says. He is my devotee. So sarva vedartha. So Krishna has given all the Vedam, all the Upanishads, the essence of all that, Krishna has summarized it, and in the form of Bhagavad Gita, he has given it to us in the last few verses. And realizing this is spiritual life. Is spiritual life. Therefore, it is mentioned also that sarva vedartha they give this interesting example. They mention like this: the knowledge is in the book. Knowledge is in the book. And the money is lying in the bank. Money is lying in the bank. Or you say that I got a lot of money, but I have lent it to so many people. A lot of money I have lent it to so many people. Both these things are same. If you say the knowledge is in the book, and if you say you have got a lot of money, but I have lent that money to many other people, it's lending means losing, isn't it? You don't get it back. This lending, Prabhupada used to say that. Lending means losing, he said, it's gone. It's no lending, he said. Lending business. You give us a donation and forget it, rather than lending it, he said. So that's what it means. Lending means losing. So he's saying there that similarly, that money, if you have lent to somebody, is not in your control anymore. It's gone from your control, isn't it? So it's somebody else. You can say it's your money, but it's not yours money anymore, is it? Somebody else's money then. Money, whoever hands it is his money then. It becomes his money. That's the way money is. It is in the sixth canto. He says, just like the Jiva said this to Chitrakedu. Jiva says to Chitrakedu, when Chitrakedu's son died, Sri Narada Maharshi called, Narada Maharshi and Angiras Maharshi came together. And to pacify Chitrakedu, he was a great king. Angiras and Narada Maharshi decided, we'll call him back, the one who died, his son who died. So that Jiva was going to his next body. And Narada Maharshi called him back, says, come back, he said. So he came back. He says to Narada Maharshi and Angiras Maharshi, why you are calling me back? I'm going to my next place where I have to stay in the next body. I'm going there. Here my food is finished here. My food is somewhere else now. I have to go there, he said. So Chitrakedu started thinking, I was thinking he is mine all this time. He is telling he is not mine, he has got somewhere else to go and he is going to the next destination. And then he says, I am like this money. Money, when the bank note, you go to the bank, you get say 100 pounds from the bank and you call that 100 pound, it is in your hands. Before it came to your hands, it was the bank's money. When it is in your hands, it's your money. You have handed it over to Asda or Tesco, then it's their money. It's not here anymore, isn't it? So similarly, life is also like that. Jiva is like that. And that is why it's in the knowledge in the book. When it is in the book, it belongs to the book. It's not your knowledge anymore. Similarly, also money is like that. Wherever it is, it belongs to there. Because the knowledge in the book and the money in the hands of others is both useless. Is it not? Knowledge in the book is useless. When I say book, I mean iPad also. Also, it's all useless. What is the use? It's in the iPad. Oh, if somebody says to you, oh yeah, I know. It's in the iPad. What's the use? Is it useful? No, it's not useful. So same thing. Knowledge in the book is useless. And money in the bank, lending to somebody else, that's also useless. Neither of them are useful, isn't it? So both are gone, you can take it, more or less. It doesn't come, no use at all. But Krishna is saying here, all the Vedam, Upanishads, everything, Krishna has chained it very well. And from there, Krishna has given us to this Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the result of that. So practically what I'm saying is, Bhagavad Gita is not a book. Bhagavad Gita is knowledge. Bhagavad Gita is knowledge. And that knowledge, if it has gone in and it has changed you, then you got it. But if I got hundreds copies of this Bhagavad Gita at home, or one copy of Bhagavad Gita at home, it makes no difference. Is it not? Because it is no use to me. Something has gone inside, it's laying in the shelf. I can go, I got Bhagavad Gita at home. I can say to everybody, what is the use of that? It's of no use to anyone, isn't it? But when we are very, very gross, that's the only language we know. So that's why we have to give the book as much as possible, and we feel some satisfaction from that. That is not the perfection of Bhagavad Gita. Perfection of Bhagavad Gita, whatever Prabhupada has written there, spoken about Krishna, if that knowledge has gone inside and changed our life and experienced it here in this world now, then you have got it. Otherwise you haven't got it. Otherwise the one who is giving the Bhagavad Gita and who has got the Bhagavad Gita, they are all in the same boat. One who is giving it and one who has got it, they are all in the same boat. Isn't it? Because it's in the book only. It's not in the inside. So, so Krishna is saying that to take shelter of Bhagavad Gita, that is what is more important. To take shelter of Bhagavad Gita. Samastha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam, as it mentioned in the Odgadam in the beginning itself. So, sa edat yathoktam samyak darshanam vijnayam adbhavaya mama bhavoho mama sarvo hi vedartho gitartaja. The bhashyam on this verse, it says here, edavan sarvo hi vedartha gitartha cha upasamhritya uktaha asmin samyak darshane ka adhikriyade iti uchyate. This means that these few verses, what Krishna has spoken just before, that is the essence of all the Vedam and the essence of Bhagavad Gita also. And after that, from now onwards, in many verses, Krishna is going to say, who is qualified to have this knowledge? Who is qualified to have this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita? That is going to talk about it from now on in many, many verses. So here, for whom this will benefit? This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will benefit whom? That is what Krishna is going to say. So he says here, earlier Krishna mentioned there in that, mad bhaktaha. First of all, he has to be a devotee. He has to be a devotee. Devotee means what? Devotee means that, so one who has devotion. One who has devotion. Devotion means what? One who accept Krishna wholeheartedly, without any doubt, authority, Krishna's authority. That is a devotee. That's a devotee. You will accept Krishna in various ways. Remember this verse where it says, some people are attracted to Krishna's beauty. People are attracted to Krishna's opulences. Isn't it? In that story in the Bhagavadam, Akasura story, you remember Akasura? Akasura came in the form of a huge snake. All the cowherd boys got inside. And finally Krishna also gone in to rescue those children from inside, cowherd boys. There, Shuka Brahmarshi says that look at Akasura's good fortune. He says Akasura's good fortune. the whole Brahmam, Purna Brahmam, he was managed to swallow inside. Either you have to swallow Krishna or Krishna has to swallow you, one way or the other. It has to happen. Either you have to swallow Krishna or Krishna has to swallow you. Krishna has to swallow you means Krishna has to swallow your ego. Ego is what we are, isn't it? In this body, what we are now is our ego. That ego, like in the case of Mahabali, Krishna has swallowed Mahabali. That's what happened at the end. Mahabali's false ego gone completely when Mahabali was swallowed. Krishna, devotee swallows Krishna sometimes. Devotee swallows Krishna sometimes. How? He goes in front of Krishna, stands there, and continuously drinks Krishna. Shrotraischa pitva paramara sasudham bodhi pure remeran. That's the words. Netraischa pitva. Through the eyes he is drinking Krishna. Through the ears he is drinking Krishna. And in all, through prasadam he is drinking Krishna. So in different ways he is making Krishna to go inside. That is way when devotee swallows Krishna. That is how devotee swallows Krishna. Through the eyes, he sees Krishna's form and swallows inside. Through the nose, he smells the flowers of Krishna's prasadam and smells it inside. Through the taste, through the tongue, he swallows Krishna prasadam and takes Krishna inside. Netrai, shrot, and through ears, he hears about Krishna and swallows it in, takes it inside. So, in various ways, the devotee swallows Krishna inside. Netrai Shrotraischa Pitva Paramara Sasudambodhi Bhure Rameran says. Netram Shrotram Shrotraischa Pitva. Keep on drinking Krishna all the time through ears, through the eyes, and through the prasadam, through the tongue. In this way, you swallow Krishna all the time. So either you have to swallow Krishna, then it's fine. If Krishna swallows you, also fine. Like in the case of Akasura, what happened? Akasura swallowed Krishna inside. Krishna went inside, broke open and came out, isn't it? And Akasura got killed. Then what happened? Akasura's jyoti from inside came and come to Krishna's lotus feet and merged there. Like in the case of Shishupala. You know that. In the Bhagavatam, the photograph is there. The devotees have made a picture of that. That they have come, Krishna's, Shishupala and Akasura, they have come and merged in Krishna's lotus feet. So, either, the important thing is this, either you have to swallow Krishna or Krishna has to swallow you. But sometimes what will happen is, people will swallow Krishna's wealth. That is no good. Saying that it's all Krishna's, that is not allowed. Either you have to swallow Krishna or Krishna has to swallow you. But if you start swallowing Krishna's wealth and saying it's all mine, and taking Krishna's wealth away, that is wrong. That should not happen. That's the only important thing to remember. So here, that is the message. So Krishna says, you will see this in the Bhagavatam, that that bhakti, Krishna says, mal bhaktaha. So one who has got bhakti, not the one who swallows Krishna's wealth, is not a bhakta, is not a devotee. But one who gets swallowed by Krishna or one who swallows Krishna, both are his devotee. Mad bhaktaha. Such a person or one who instructs Srimad Bhagavatam and bhakti towards him for that matter, and that bhakti cannot be given up at any stage. It cannot be given up. Krishna has given. Why do we feel that gratitude to Krishna? Because Krishna has given us Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has given us Srimad Bhagavatam. One who feels that gratitude, Krishna says, he is a devotee. He is a devotee. That is the symptom of a devotee. He should feel the gratitude to Krishna for what Krishna has given to us. That is a devotee. Mad bhaktaha, what Krishna is saying here, isn't it? You will see this in the Bhagavatam when you notice this, and you will never be able to give it up. Even in the liberated state, it goes with you. Uddhava, after instructing Uddhava in Ekadasha Skandam, and Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, now don't look back, walk away from here. He says to Uddhava, go to Badrinath from here, don't look back, he says to Uddhava. So, and don't stay here, he said, because there is nothing for you to do here in this world. This is how Krishna told Uddhava. Finally, when he left this, when they got separated in Prabhasam, that's where separation happened. And Krishna decided to leave the world, and he said goodbye to Uddhava and told Uddhava, now you go to Badrinath. Remember, he has walked all the way from Prabhasam to Badrinath, such a long distance. And on the way is that when he met met Vidura at Vrindavanam. On the way he went through Vrindavanam, and in Vrindavanam he met Vidura, isn't it? So Krishna told Vidura, Uddhava, don't look back, go straight to Badrinath from here. And handed over the shoes, Krishna's shoes, to him. Holding them on his head, Uddhava was walking back towards Badrinath, and told him that you have nothing to do here. Now you will see a difference here. To Uddhava, Krishna said one thing, and to Arjuna, he said something different. To Uddhava, Krishna says, you have nothing to do here. No work to be done in this world, you just go. To Arjuna, Krishna says, don't go. Krishna says, don't go anywhere, do everything what I tell you to do. See the difference between Uddhava. Krishna had only these two disciples, so to say, to whom Krishna has instructed. To Uddhava, Krishna says, go to Badrinath. There's nothing for you to do here. Go to Badrinath, reflect on what I have spoken to you, and come back to me, he said, and sent him away. And Uddhava left, gone away. To Arjuna, Krishna never said that. When Arjuna was ready to take sannyas and all that, Krishna says, no, don't take sannyas. Go through the war, kill everyone, and then there's a lot more things to do after that. So to Uddhava one way, and to Arjuna in a different way. So, so that here you can see one thing, that Uddhava's case, what did Uddhava say at that time to Krishna? Uddhava says to Krishna, when Krishna told Uddhava to go, Namostu de Mahayogin Prapanna Manishadhimam Yathatva Charanam Bhoje Ratisyal Anabhayini. There is a beautiful verse in the Bhagavadam. It says there, Namostu de Mahayogin. That is bhakti. Why is that bhakti? That gratitude in Uddhava's heart when he got instruction in the Ekadasha Skandam, Bhagavadam Ekadasham, after hearing that, this is the symptom of bhakti. That when Krishna has given us something so valuable, to feel that gratitude to Krishna for what he has given us, is it not? If just like, why Pandavas are glorified? Because Pandavas, Arjuna gave us Bhagavad Gita. And the grandson, the son gave Bhagavad Gita, grandson gave Srimad Bhagavatam to us. Is it not? Parikshit gave Bhagavatam to us, and Arjuna gave Bhagavad Gita to us. So that gratitude to them. Similarly, Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam to us. So Krishna says a devotee is that person, when he gets this Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, he feels gratitude to Krishna for what he has given us. Because we don't know how to value these books, do we? We are just thinking that it is another book subject to my intellectual scrutiny or mental concoction for that. No, it's not. So many great personalities in this world, they took advantage of this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and came out of this cycle of rebirth and death. Did they not? All the great acharyas, jnanis, devotees and all sorts of personalities who appeared at different times throughout the history have taken advantage of this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and realized the truth. So, would they not feel a gratitude to Krishna? They will, would they not? That for what Krishna has given to them. Otherwise, rotting in this world without Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, what is one situation? Imagine that. That is why Krishna is saying here, that person who feels that gratitude, he is the devotee. He is the devotee. That is why. And that mood of that devotee is what comes through that verse. Namostude Mahayogin Prapanna Manishadhimam Yatha Tvacharanam Bhoje Reti Syad Anabhayini, says Uddhava. Uddhava says, Namostude Mahayogin. He paid obeisances to Krishna from all directions, from the front, from the side, from the back, everywhere. And then he says to him, namostude mahayogin prapanna manishadhimam. Because this knowledge of Ekadasha Skandam, when it has gone inside Uddhava, Uddhava was in ecstasy. He could not believe that then knowledge of the self, the realization of the self, this is what it brings. And he was in such an ecstasy with the shoes in the head when he met Vidura, and Vidura asked Uddhava to talk about that experience. Uddhava says to him that, "I am too excited, I can't speak about it." And in that way he continued his journey. But Krishna has arranged someone else to talk to you, Maitreya Maharshi, go to him. And told him where to see Maitreya, and then he left. And for a long time Vidura followed Uddhava, but in a short period of time Vidura could not catch up with Uddhava. Uddhava was far ahead and he disappeared from there on the journey from there Vrindavan to Haridwar. And then Uddhava goes to Haridwar, through Haridwar he goes to Badrinath and spend rest of his time engaged in the reflection on what he heard from Krishna, Ekadasha Skandam. So here what we are talking about was, namostade mahayogin prapanna manishadhimam. So what did Uddhava say at that time to Krishna? Uddhava says, "Prapanna manishadhimam, I am surrendered to you. I have no other shelter except you. That is bhakti. Prapanna manishadhimam yatha tva charanam bhoje, yatha tva charanam bhoje." At the same time, that radhisya lanabhayini, at your lotus feet, let me have the complete surrender and shelter at your lotus feet. Radhisyal anabhayini. Anabhayini means that which never goes away. That means forever. Forever, let there be shelter at your lotus feet for me. In this way, Uddhava left that place. So that is bhakti. That is bhakti. So here, Krishna is talking about bhakti in that way, that mal bhaktaha, in this verse he says mal bhaktaha, that means except Vasudevaha, that my sarvajnye parama guru Vasudeve samarpita sarvalma bhavo yad pashyadi shrunodi sprishadi va sarvam eva bhagavan Vasudeva idi evam graha avishta buddhi mad bhaktaha. In other words, whatever we see or whatever we touch, whatever we think about anything, everything is Krishna. That realization has to come. That Vasudeva Swarupam, Krishna's presence there. And that certainty, that bhaktaha, that is called what they call it as Sarvalma Bhavam. Sarvalma Bhavam. If you remember, see that? In that verse, madbhavayoba padyade, Krishna says, the last line, that is that sarvalma bhava. Madbhava. Madbhava means this. Madbhava means madbhavayoba, malbhakta edadvijnaya madbhavayoba padyade. That is the verse, is it not? Madbhakta edadvijnaya, my devotee, after realizing it, what will happen? Madbhavayoba padyade. So, even after realization, that devotee consciousness will be like this. Gratitude to Krishna. Gratitude to Krishna, what he has given, and always surrendered state inside. Always in a surrendered state inside. So, that sarvatma bhavam, edad vijnaya, after knowing that, then the question is that kshetram and kshetrajnan is finished now. Kshetram and kshetrajnan is over. So, instead, what will happen? Madbhavayoba padyade. It's not anymore kshetram, kshetrajnya bhavam, but it is madbhavayoba padyade. What is madbhavam? Madbhavam is this, that the whole creation is Krishna's manifestation, isn't it? So, whole creation is Krishna's manifestation. When madbhavayoba padyade, when that happens, even the Vyavaharam also will become very divine at that point. That means, at that stage, now today we think in two different ways, isn't it? We got Vyavaharam one side going on, where we have to deal with the world, we have to deal with the different personalities, and Vyavaharam has a different nature, where all sorts of lying, cheating, and all other problems comes in the vyavaharam, is it not? On the other side, inside we have this proper understanding of Krishna consciousness also, based on what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So there is always a conflict there, is it not? Conflict is this, that vyavaharam we are not able to bring it to the same understanding of the truth inside. Truth is telling us that Krishna is saying, explaining to us that the presence of Antaryami inside, Antaryami is important. But if you go and do in the vyavaharam the same thing, we find that difficult to utilize it in the same way. We are finding it unable to do it. But when what Krishna is saying here is, after this realization, he says, Mal bhakta edad vijnaya, my devotee, after this knowledge has realized what Krishna has spoken in these last few verses, what will happen to him is, mad bhava yoba padyate, he will come to malbhavam. Malbhavam means what? There is no conflict between vyavaharam and the knowledge inside. That means this knowledge will permeate through that person into the vyavaharam also. That means vyavaharam is not anymore complicated, creates any issues, any problems for him. It's a devotee's big problem, this is, isn't it? How to deal with the vyavaharam. That is why we have classified everyone as karmi and given a stamp on them and told them they are all useless, and it's not their problem, it's our problem. So we are saying that they are all like the demons and all other things. We call everybody. But that's no use. They are not going to change. They will be like that because they are in the vyavaharam. It's here the correction required. That's what Krishna is saying here. That madbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayoba padyade. When that madbhavam happens, then vyavaharam is not a problem anymore. In vyavaharam there will be no problem. There will be no more problem in the vyavaharam. Why? We are not ready for that. That is the problem. Why blame them for that? It's all the impurities in me that when I go there, that we are saying, oh, why they are not following Shastram? Why they are not doing this? Why they are not doing that? All problems we find faults in them. But that is not allowed. Because Krishna is saying here that madbhakta edad vijnaya, when you have assimilated this knowledge as the way Krishna has spoken, and if the proper realization has happened, and as a devotee, madbhavam, madbhakta edad vijnaya, vijnaya means that jnanam has become manifestation inside, edad vijnaya, madbhavayoba padyade, he has come to madbhavam. That means what? It means for him, vyavaharam is not a problem anymore. Even in the vyavaharam, he will be like Krishna. Like Krishna's vyavaharam, you have seen how Krishna also, Krishna had so much vyavaharam, much more than what we had. Is it not? We are finding it difficult. We have to go to one place, work for 8 or 10 hours a day and come home. That's our vyavaharam is finished there. Krishna's vyavaharam, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see. From the day he was born, his vyavaharam had begun. Even the day where he was born, the place he was born, he couldn't stay. There itself problem started. He had to go all the way to Gokulam, isn't it? So that from the appearance itself, vyavaharam started. That's vyavaharam it is. Going all the way from the prison to and that to dragging Vasudev in that heavy rain all the way there and bringing back Yashoda Devi's child from there back to Devaki's place, and all Kamsa was disturbed and all sorts of problems there. And then even in Gokulam there was no peace. It lasted only a few months. And then to Vrindavanam started. Vrindavanam there was no peace. And then Madhura started. Madhura there was no peace. Then went to Dwaraka. And sitting in Dwaraka, problems everywhere. If you look into Krishna's time in this world, 125 years, it was full of vyavaharam, was it not? But what is the difference? It was not like our vyavaharam. That's what Krishna is saying here. Madbhavayoba padyade. Even in the middle of all the vyavaharam, Krishna remains as Krishna. No kartratvam, no bhoktratvam, no ragam, no dvesham. This is that. Is it not? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, no. I am the no attachment, no aversion. Because these things were there in Krishna all the time, he had no problem leaving Vrindavanam. He had no problem in Mathura, and finally he had no problem leaving his own people, Yadavas also. Told them, you all fight and kill each other, I am going, he said. This is what he did ultimately, isn't it? So, if the people misinterpret Bhagavad Gita like this. They are saying that Bhagavad Gita is always telling us to do your duty, they are saying. Bhagavad Gita is not telling you to do your duty. Bhagavad Gita is never told, tells everyone to do his duty. Understand what this world is, that's what Bhagavad Gita is saying there. And that's what Krishna has shown to us. When uncle was killed, the nephew is smiling. Sat on top of the uncle, punched him and killed him, and he is smiling after that. The nephew. Krishna is smiling after that, isn't it? So, all the kind of things what Krishna has done in his life, in Vrindavanam and Mathura, practically by the age of 12, he first of all didn't go to school in the proper way. So that lasted only 64 days or something. Everything was over. So when you look at Krishna's time in this world, it was nothing but vyavaharam that was going on, was it not? Manipulating the kings and kidnapping Rukmini. Some people told me once that when they read Bhagavatam, and the God is doing all these things, he is kidnapping all the girls when the marriage is going on. What kind of God is this, they are saying? So they have their own concept of God. This is the problem. To make them understand what God is a bit difficult sometimes. So God is killing people, continuously killing people one after the other, and continuously kidnapping women. And is this all God? They're saying. They're finding it difficult to come to terms. Their understanding, perception of God is completely different. That somewhere a nice person talking to everyone nicely with the best accent. So they have formed some opinion about God in their own mind. And they're expecting from the God all these things. When it's not happening, they start doubting everything. Is this all correct what is written in the book? So how would you answer that? So anyway, important thing is Krishna is saying that madbhakta edad, this is where the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita. When you understand all these things what Krishna has spoken, you will know that all these things what the society is telling us, world is telling us, has nothing to do with the spirituality. It is completely mundane concoction from the world. It has nothing to do with the truth, with the reality. The reality is what Krishna is saying. He says, madbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayoba padyade. When madbhavam happens, there is no vyavaharam anymore. That vyavaharam is not anymore a vyavaharam, it is a transcendental activity. All the Krishna's activities, this is the way you should study Krishna's activity. You should not think, oh, Krishna has come here to kill so many demons and protect devotees and all. Krishna is concerned, there is no demon, there is no devotee. They are all same as far as he is concerned. That Krishna is saying to us, but through the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wanted to give this knowledge of the self to us. To do that, Bhagavatam was written, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So one who sees this whole world creation as Krishna's manifestation, for him there is no distress in life. There is no distress in life, there is no ignorance in him, and he has no enemies either. Ajata Shatru, as they say. He has no enemies anymore. Because this realization has come. What is that? Madbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayoba padyade. That is what the two lines are referring to. He has become Krishna's, he has proper devotion to bhakti towards Krishna, and the result of that was madbhavayoba padyade. He has come to that realization, madbhavam. Madbhavayoba padyade. Madbhava means this, that he has no distress, he has no ignorance, and he has no enemies. He has no enemies. Ramatirtha used to give an example on this. Example is like this, that in old temples they have called what they known as Darpana Mandalam. Darpana Mandapa means there is a raised platform and they have got mirrors all around. Darpana Mandapam. They have got mirrors all around. And on special festival days, they will bring the deity from inside, the deity which is used for the festival. They will bring from inside, not the installed deity, there will be a deity for festivals. Where that deity is taken around in processions on top of the elephant or in chariots and all that. That's called the Ulsava Murti, or the one that is used for the festival. So on festival days what they'll do, they'll bring that deity from inside and keep in that platform where all these mirrors are all around. Are the mirrors. So once it so happened that not on a festival day, the mirrors will always be there. by some reason a dog managed to get in there. Dog got in there. So the dog stood there and looked everywhere, all around its mirrors. So the dog started thinking, everywhere, as soon as the dog's nature, you know, when it sees another dog, what it does it do? It starts barking, isn't it? So he barked at the dog when it saw in the mirror. It doesn't know it's a mirror or anything. Another dog is, and when this was barking, it was barking back from inside. Dog didn't know anything. So they were barking for some time. So barking, the dog got tired. And wherever it looked, everywhere it's barking at him. The dogs are barking at him. So he started barking and all, continuously he was barking for hours together. And the temple was empty, nobody was there. So he barked like this and eventually it got tired and dropped. Finally, it dropped dead. So it was like that. Because everyone is its enemy, the dog's enemy, isn't it? Dog started thinking, he's my enemy, everybody is my enemy in this world. And the dog, similarly, we also look at everyone, he's all my enemy, they're all my enemies, I have to deal with them in that way. So this dog come and gone away, nothing happened, the dog died eventually. Then a man came, he was going to get married, a man came to the same place. And he also saw, when he saw this, all the mirrors all around, and he was dressed up for the marriage very well, in a suit, completely well dressed. So he wanted to look at all sides, he looks good. So he said, he went in to that platform and he started looking at himself and looking at the mirror, how he looked good for the marriage. So he looked everywhere, front, back, sides, everywhere, and he looked very happy and he walked out from there. He walked out from there. So, and this person, he enjoyed all his different poses, whereas the dog could not enjoy anything. So that is what Krishna is saying here. When madbhavam happens, malbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayoba padyade, it is like this bridegroom who came and looked at the mirror. Whomever you see in this world, it is Krishna's manifestation in them that you are seeing, not anymore as a friend and enemy. That has gone. Prior to this thing happened, what was that? Like the dog. Everyone is your enemy. You have to sort out everybody in this world. That is that situation. So that is that Krishna is saying here. That when you become that madbhakta edad vijnaya, when that realization comes, madbhavayoba padyade, then you are in madbhav. That is Krishna's bhavam. Krishna's bhavam. What is Krishna's bhavam? Krishna has no enemies, isn't it? Even while killing, that proof is Krishnavadaram is the best proof of that. Krishna has no enemies, isn't it? Krishna says there is a beautiful prayer about this. You remember this Paundraga Vasudeva? He says Paundraga Vasudeva is the one who dressed up like Krishna and told Krishna that you are not Krishna, I am Krishna, he says. Krishna says, you also come back with me to the spiritual world and send him also to the spiritual world. This is Krishna. One who has come saying that I am Krishna and telling Krishna to hand over Dwaraka, all your weapons and wealth, everything to me. Paundraga Vasudeva says to Krishna. Krishna says, very good, you have dressed up like me, haven't you? Come with me, he said, and took him also to the spiritual world. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. Krishna has no enemies. We have enemies. Krishna has no enemies inside. That is that madbhavam Krishna is talking about. Madbhavayoba padyade means there is no enemies anywhere, number one. Secondly, you can also see another thing, that hunter Jara, after when he shot the arrow onto Krishna's lotus feet, the hunter didn't realize that he had shot Krishna. He thought it was an animal's face or something, body like that. Without knowing, he shot the arrow from a long distance. When he came to know, the arrow has touched Krishna's lotus feet, he came crying to Krishna for what he has done. And he says to Krishna, punish me for what I have done now. I don't want to go without that punishment, he says. And hunter paid his obeisances so many times to Krishna, asking Krishna to punish him. Krishna says to him, what you have done is fully approved by me. You also go back to the spiritual world. This is Krishna. This is Krishna. So where is Krishna's enemy? And Pudana came to feed Krishna with the poison on the breast. Krishna says, no, you also come back because you gave milk to me like Mother Yashoda has given. You are also my mother. Come back with me. Who else will? These are the things Shukha Brahmarshi says in the Bhagavadam. Uddhava also says the same thing, isn't it? Aho bhagiyam sthanakala kudam jigam saya payadapya sadhvi lebhega dimdat ajidam kudonyo. Lebegadim tatra jidil kutonyo kambagadim. Forget the word. That who else will show this mercy, says Shukha Brahmarshi. And that verse is made Shukha Brahmarshi to rethink about Krishna's absolute position. Who else has shown this mercy in this appearance except Krishna? So Kamvadayalum Sharanam Vrajema says that Ahobagiyam sthana kala kudam. Putana's intention was to kill Krishna. And the poison kala kudam was applied on her breast and came to feed Krishna with that and kill him. With that intention she had come. Jighamsaya paya yadapya sadhvi. Lebhegadim dat ujidam kudonyo. What did Krishna say? You are my dhatri. Dhatri means nurse. Lebhegadim. Gave her also liberation, in other words. Lebhegadim dhatri ujitam kutonyo. Who else will do this? Asks Maitreya Maharshi in the Bhagavadam. Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajemaha. That daya, that mercy or grace of Krishna, where else will you find, says. That is why that verse is very important in the Bhagavadam. So, all these examples, Putana's example, Paundraga Vasudeva's example, Jara's example, to indicate to us Krishna had no enemies anytime. Everyone go back to the spiritual world, send them back. That was Krishna's main business. The only one unfortunate person who missed the boat was our Jarasandha. Instead of killing him direct, he made Bhimasena to kill him. Otherwise, he would have gone back as well if Krishna had killed him. Unfortunately, he didn't have the opportunity to fight with Krishna. If Krishna had killed him, he would have gone back as well. But it didn't happen. So, except this one example of Jarasandha, everyone else in the Krishnavadaram, everybody goes back to the spiritual world. Once killed by Krishna means no more birth after that. Is it not? You know, Shishubala, even Akasura. Akham means sin. Sin personified, that is his name. Akasura, sin personified, and that he also goes back to the spiritual world. So that is what it mentions here. This, when Krishna says this, mad bhaktaye dad vijaya mad bhavayo bhadyade, that is that madbhavam. Madbhavam is this: no kartrutva bhoktrutvam, no ragadvesham anywhere to anyone. That means no ajnanam inside, no enemies outside, and no distress inside. These three things. No dukkham inside, no distress inside, no ignorance inside, and no enemies in the world. No enemies in the world. So that when we are talking about this, what else is there? When this person came and looked at in the mirror, what he saw there was, what did he say this in the mirror? He saw him in different poses. Isn't it? He himself in different poses. If you look into Ishopanishad, there is a verse there which explains that. Seventh verse. It says, the seventh verse, Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhut vijanata tatra ko mohaha koshka shokaha ekatvam anupashyati. This is that state. What Krishna is saying here. Malbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayopa padyade. What will happen? Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhut vijanata. In one who always sees all living entities as spiritual parks. When Krishna is seeing Kamsa, when Krishna is seeing Shishubala or Dandavatra, or when Krishna is seeing anybody, he is not seeing them as Kamsa or Dandavatra or Shishubala. Krishna is seeing them as spiritual spark, like Prahlada was seeing, isn't it? Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu was seeing Prahlada as his son and enemy. Prahlada was seeing Hiranyakashipu as Krishna's manifestation. That is the difference between them. Similarly, Krishna is not seeing anyone as an enemy. There is no inimical feeling towards anyone. Whether it is Chanura or Mushtika or anybody, there is no inimical feeling. So, Yasmin Sarvani Bhutani Alpaiva Bhut Vijanada. In everyone, Krishna is saying Alpaiva Bhut Vijanada. Only Atma. Atma is there, present there. Krishna is present in that person also, he is saying like that. So for him, for such a person, tatra ko mohaha ko shokaha. Where is the question of hankering and lamentation for such a person? He says here, one who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. When then can be illusion or anxiety for him, for such a person? Where is he? Illusion or anxiety. Ka shokaha ka mohaha. Then, yes means, yeah, so the tatra ko shokaha mohaha. So Upanishad is asking that question to us. So in such a person, moham or illusion cannot happen anymore. Similarly, lokaha, and for him, shtra shokaha ko mohaha, there cannot be any shokam, lamentation about anything. And there is no lamentation or there is no illusion in that person anymore. That is what the most important thing. When illusion goes away, then our vyavaharam becomes a lot easier, isn't it? In vyavaharam, what causes the greatest anxiety? That you are going to lose something, isn't it? That your vyavaharam is going to cause some problems in some form. But if this state comes, even in vyavaharam there is no shokam moham. There is no illusion, there is no lamentation about anything. That is that state Krishna is talking about. Madbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayopa padyade. Madbhavam. Madbhavam means this realized state, in other words. No kartrutvam, no bhoktrutvam, no ragam, no dvesham. And that means no attachment, no aversion. No, I am the doer, not I am the enjoyer. About more than that, no shokam, no moham. No illusion or no, what do they call it, shokaha. No hankering after anything or lamentation about anything. And no illusion behind it. Moham, shokam. Shokaha, moha. Upanishad is asking this question. Then what does it happens to him? Ekattva manupashyati. That oneness he sees everywhere. Oneness of the presence of the self in everything. Egattu manipashyari. So that is why when we talk about realized souls, for them, shokam and moham doesn't exist. Brahmabodha prasannalpa na shojadi na kamkshadi, isn't it? That's what that is. Na shojadi na kamkshadi. That is Brahmabodha platform. It's like that. Brahman realization. Na shochati na kamkshati. So, if there is a trace of shochati or kamkshati, that means he's not in the Brahmabodha state. Is it not? So, here, again, Krishna says here, Atma Purastad, in the Upanishads, that's the same thing spoken in the Chandokyam. Chandokyam says like this. Dakshinotam, Dakshinado aham uttaradoho, Ahame Vedaha Sarvamidi Paschadaham Purastadaham Adhada Alma Desham Eva Almeiva Adastad Atmu Obarishtad Alma Paschad Alma Purastad Alma Dakshinad Atmo Uttarad Atme Vedaha Sarvamidi Sava Esha Evam Pashyan Netram Mandan Evam Vijnana Anna Atmarati Atma Kridaha Atma Midinaha Atma Anandaha Saswarad Bhavadi Tasya Sarveshu Logeshu Kamacharo Bhavadi Adha E Anyathato Vidura Anyaraja Anande Kshapyaloka Bhavandi Tesha Sarveshu Loke Sarveshu Logeshu Kamacharo Bhavadi. There is a long statement in the Chandokya Upanishad talking about a realized person state. A realized person state. That is that state Krishna is mentioning here. In Upanishad, it's a lot more detailed description about that. He says like this, that that Jivanmukta state, liberated state, that person said the ecstasy what he is experiencing, explaining that Upanishad is not even satisfied. That is how he puts it. On and on, he keeps on saying about this, a long paragraph about the state of ecstasy, of that experience of the liberated person. Liberated person. Imagine when Shokam Moham goes away from inside. Shokam and Moham has gone away from inside. That means hankering and lamentation has gone away. Kartrutva Bhoktrutva, doer and enjoyer has gone away. Then Ragadvesham has gone away completely from inside. That person's state is the Jivanmukta state. In that Jivanmukta state, it says here, wherever he looks, this side or that side, what is there is only Atma, nothing else. Except Atma, there is nothing everywhere. And it says that Chapya Logo Bhavadi, Tesham Sarveshu Logeshu, Kamacharo Bhavadi. Whenever he looks into this world, there is no desires coming in him for anything. That is that state. No desires are coming inside. For us, all desires come when we look into the world, isn't it? All desires continuously coming. Nothing happens to him. So Upanishads find it very difficult to explain that state. It goes on talking about it for page after page. So after saying that, that only thing is, in that realized state, wherever you look, it's all Atma. Atma. Then, if you look at the words, it says here, front side it is Atma. Back side, when you look, it's Atma. Right side it is Atma. Left side it is Atma. And everywhere seeing Atma. Everywhere seeing Atma. Atmanam chedu vijaniya aham asmidi purusha kimichan avinyakamam shariram and Atma anusancharem. So, now the question is, one who has reached that state of Atma, realization of the self, then does he have to keep this body after that and continue to experience this body since then, since that state? Body is considered to be a disease, you know that. In spiritual life, body is considered to be a disease. It's a disease. What we are doing is, we are cleaning up this disease and trying to keep the disease going as long as possible, isn't it? That's what we want. That's what we are working for so hard, to keep the disease going as long as. But from spiritual point of view, body is a disease. Body is a disease. So, body is a disease. Body is also sometimes addressed as a dress. And because it is a disease, what kind of disease? Disease is just like jwaram. Jwaram, you know, jwaram means like a fever, you can say. Jwaram is the word in the Shastram. Jwaram is just like a fever it is, this body. And one who thinks, I am this body, he is always have that fever of this body. Fever of the body, he has got that. Like, Mahatmas, many of them who have come to a higher level in spiritual life, really higher existence, they do not consider clothing necessary for the body. But out of fear for the society, to keep, not to disturb the society, they will have some minimum clothing, very minimum, in their body. Because as far as body is concerned, for them, not only it is a disease, it's also a cloth. A cloth around the body, around them, around the person, isn't it? If you ask them, they will say, I've got 5 sets of clothes on me. Why do I want another set of clothes on that? That's their answer to that. What is that 5 set of clothes? Annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. So these 5 set of clothes, I'm already wearing it. And do you want me to wear more clothes on top of that? That's what they will ask you. A realized soul will ask this. That's why many, many, if you remember, you look into Bhagavatam, you will see Jadabharata was wandering around without clothes on. Dattatreya Maharshi was wandering around without clothes on. He was lying there. Because for him, already he has got clothes on. We don't accept that. That's our problem, not his problem, he said. And similarly, Rishabhadev, when he walked away from the palace, Why was he walking out without any clothes on? And people were running after him. Sukadeva Goswami came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, no clothes on. Is it not? None of them had any clothes on. Why? Because they are saying, we already got the clothes on. Why do you need another set of clothes? I'm not feeling cold, they are saying. Then they're not experiencing anything to do with the body. Body is finished for them. But in our eyes, when we look at them, we are seeing the body and we are saying, oh, sometimes some, what happens is that very great Mahatmas and all, when you go to see them, you don't know how to approach them, isn't it? So they'll take some a nice set of clothes or a nice set of kurta or dhoti, everything, thinking that they can use it. And they will be, and when they wear it, you feel happy, oh, I brought those clothes for them, like that. So Seshadri Swamiji, somebody brought him a nice set of shawl and got it to him. So Seshadri says to him that, what do I need? He cut them into lots of pieces, small pieces. And there was a buffalo standing there and tie it around. And he was wearing a completely filthy, dirty cloth. He was wearing that. That was he was wearing only so that the world doesn't feel disturbed over his... Otherwise, suppose he walks completely naked, what will happen? All the children will make fun and others will start throwing stones, and police even will arrest nowadays, isn't it? For exposure, they'll arrest you and take you away. So all these kinds of things will happen. Society is different. But our Sukadeva Brahmarshi and others, they had no clothes on. Because they never thought that they needed. We need the clothes because we have identification with the body. Krishna took all the clothes from the gopis. Why? To tell them that there is no clothes necessary really. That was the purpose of that pastime. To tell the gopis, you are covering, what are you covering? You are already covered with so much outside. And you are covering again that other clothes on. So prior to the two things there, you have to link those two things. One pastime, that is the pastime of stealing the clothes from the gopis, and another pastime, rasa dance with Krishna. Only when you have lost your bodily identification, you are qualified to have that rasa dance with Krishna. Completely you have to be free from the bodily identity. That is why that pastime came before the other pastime. Before the pastime of rasa dance, the pastime of stealing the clothes have come. We are thinking that, oh, Krishna is having a good time stealing the clothes from the gopis and all. That is not Krishna's goal. Krishna is teaching us a lesson that so long as you are in the bodily concept of life, there is no question of spiritual knowledge. You cannot enter into Krishna's spiritual world with bodily identity. That is not possible. That is what it is. Rasa dance is all in the liberated state. It's not happening in the conditioned state. That also you will notice, when the gopis have dressed up for the rasa dance with Krishna, all of them dressed in wrong ways, some of them put the wrong things in the wrong places, it never disturbed them. They are saying there, Sukha Brahmarshi is saying this, perfect Brahmachari is talking to us about all these things. He is saying to us that gopis were not disturbed. Why? There was no, to prove it to us that there was no bodily identity in any of the gopis during the rasa dance stage. That prior to that, in order to remove that bodily identity, that stealing the clothes, to show it to them that clothes are not necessary for a spiritually realized soul. What clothes for? What is the clothes for? He's not the body anymore, isn't it? Body, when you are identifying with the body, you need the clothes. You need the clothes of the body. That is why, whether it is Dattatreya Maharshi, Sukha Brahmarshi, Jada Bharata, or Rishabhadev, all of them had no clothes on. And so you say all these things to someone outside, he says, what kind of this religion is this? He says, you don't need any, he says, he's not much different from the naturalist. They will say like this, is it not? So this is the problem. This is the problem. To bring this understanding first is more difficult. That when you, Krishna is saying to us, Madbhavayoba Padyate, that we start understanding that Madbhavam is this, that completely on the platform of the self, platform of the self. So, such a person for who has reached that state, body is a disease, body is a disease, and body is also another, one set of clothes is this body, is it not? Out of the five sets, Anamayam is this body, Body is Annamayam, is one set of clothes. Within that there is another four sets. Manomayam, Pranamayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. There is four sets inside. And when and anything that happens in this body is my distress. Is my distress. Any distress comes to this body, it's my distress. Isn't it? And when you come to understand that I am not this body, instead I am pure consciousness, pure awareness, and that is my real identity, and the whole creation is also the same reality, what is me, what I am, that Krishna's manifestation, one who has seen that realization, seen inside, not outside through the eyes, such a person, Krishna is calling here as Mal Bhaktaha. He is the devotee. He is the devotee who is doing. From this you can understand, Krishna's concept of bhakti, Krishna's concept of devotion is totally different than what we develop in our own mind. Our understanding of devotee is completely different, isn't it? We are thinking about a devotee who is chanting 16 rounds, following for regulative principles. And that is all in the sadhana stage. Krishna doesn't even discuss about that stage. The stage what Krishna is discussing about is that parabhakti stage. Parabhakti, where in total realization of the self, how he lives in this world. That is more important. And this is what we should be talking about. Sadhana bhakti, if it is not that important to discuss. Sometimes people take so much time to discuss sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is only to bring discipline in life, spiritually discipline in life, and to take us away from the bodily identity and to bring that knowledge of the self inside. But the bhakti that Krishna is talking about is the bhakti that is practiced after realizing the self. After realizing the self. All cases, Dattatreya or Shuka Brahmarshi or the other personalities like Janabharata, Rishabhadev, all of them you can see that they were of another category, isn't it? Their bhakti and our bhakti, there is a gulf of a difference, is it not? Their bhakti is in this state, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Idi kshetram tadha jnanam. That verse 19. Idi kshetram tadha jnanam nyeyam choktam samasadam. Malbhakta edadvijnaya madbhavayobhavadhyade. This is madbhavam. Madbhavam is that. So, we'll stop here today. And we'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.